is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! And a great run. He's in trouble. He is dropped. Kyle Williams dropped it. Oh, baby, what a hit. Tyrod looks. Tyrod on the run. Nobody in front of him. Touchdown! There's T-Mobile into the end zone. Boy, cuts to the right. Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Hello there. Welcome to One Bills Drive on this Wednesday afternoon. John Murphy, Donald Jones here for the next 3 hours, getting ready to talk some Buffalo Bills football. And as usual on Wednesdays, we start with practice. And our man Chris Brown is standing by live on the Bills practice field outside the AdPro Sports Training Center with an update on what's going on. Practice, Wednesday practice just underway. Chris, good afternoon. What do you see out there? What's going on?
Yeah, we've got Charles Clay and E.J. Gaines back participating, as Coach McDermott mentioned in his press conference this morning. Both guys are going to participate on a limited basis. This is, though, the first time Clay is participating with his teammates. He was running around on the side in the extra practice they got on Monday coming off of the long weekend off, but was strictly doing stuff on the side. So this is his first participation with the team since he was injured back in week 5. So this is a positive development, obviously, and there is a chance that he gets back in the lineup, provided everything goes smoothly this week and he can steadily increase his level of participation on Thursday and then again on Friday. Obviously, this is the first major activity that knee is going to see.
Right.
So provided he wakes up and gets out of bed Thursday not feeling stiff, sore, or something worse, hopefully he can kind of make good progress through the course of the week and get back on the offensive side of the ball.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, on the line with us as he joins us from Bills practice. That would be an addition, Chris. I've been thinking a lot the last few days about the assets, I guess, best way to put it, coming back to the Buffalo offense. Charles Clay is one of them and maybe an important piece to the offensive puzzle moving forward, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I mean, when he left the lineup back in week 5, he was leading this team in receiving yards and, I believe, passing targets. So, I mean, this is a guy that Tyrod Taylor had come to rely on heavily through the course of the first month plus of the season. That injury just came at a terrible time. Not that injuries ever come at a good time. But it's going to be interesting to see how he can move around here. And if we do get to a point where he's good enough to go on Sunday, I still wonder if he's going to take on a full workload after a 5-week absence. It might be a situation where maybe he only gets 25 to 35 snaps out of the 60 to 65 this offense will get on Sunday. So maybe it's only specialized situations. Maybe there's only a package of plays for him. So if he gets the green light for Sunday, I don't know if Bills fans should just automatically assume he's going to be out there for 65 plays.
Now, on the other side, I guess, flip it. Let's actually stay on the offensive side of the ball and the offensive line, you know, what's going on with the offensive line, Chris?
Well, I can tell you one thing. I usually get out here around a quarter to 12, 20 to, or about 10 to 12 to try to just get attendance all ready to roll before I come on with you guys. And the entire offensive line unit was out here already doing drills with offensive line coach Juan Castillo. Like all of them, practice squad, regular 53-man roster guys, and they're doing like cut blocks, stuff that you don't usually see them doing 15 minutes before practice even begins. So it's pretty clear to me that this group was not happy with their performance last Thursday night, and quite frankly, they shouldn't be. So they're out here getting extra work in here early on a Wednesday. Now they've broken into their regular line-type drills here during individual position period. But they were out here early with Coach Castillo, and they were going full bore 15 minutes before stretch even started.
One thing I like about the Buffalo offensive line, and I have for a couple of years now, Chris, when they have an off game, as they clearly did against the Jets a week ago now, they know it more than anybody else, don't you think? I mean, they're veterans for the most part, guys like Wood and Incognito in that group. They know when they're not playing well, when they haven't played well, and they don't make a lot of noise about it. They just kind of go out and correct it.
Yeah, but you better believe it doesn't sit well with them at all,
yeah.
Which is probably why they don't mind coming out here, getting extra reps in, executing some of the things that, you know, they felt they didn't do that well. I thought there were a lot of instances where their technique was just poor, especially in pass protection. They really let that Jets defensive front get up into their pads and lift them out of their leverage positions. And so I think that's why some of them were on roller skates a lot going back into the backfield and not really even giving Tyrod an opportunity to step up in the pocket. And unfortunately, Tyrod was running for his life for most of that game. One thing we should mention, no Cordy Glenn there at left tackle. The foot and ankle problem cropped up again. And I asked Coach this. He didn't give me a straight answer, and he probably can't, since, as he even said, I'm not a doctor. But I've got to believe that, you know, Cordy Glenn, who was moving along really well with three consecutive starts, no setbacks, no missed practices, all of a sudden can't practice on Monday this week and then is not out here again on Wednesday. I got to believe 2 games in 5 days certainly did not help that foot and ankle condition that, you know, he's been dealing with since training camp.
Well, Cordy's missed a couple of games and already this year, and fortunately for them, they have a capable backup in Deion Dawkins, huh?
Right. This is a pretty good defensive front, though, that the Saints bring to the table. You want to talk about the best part of the Saints this year, or at least the most improved part. It's clearly their defense. And, you know, this team is not only top 10 in scoring, they're top 10 in points allowed. And, you know, they're back seven to get a lot of credit for that. But I don't think we should dismiss what they can bring from a pass rushing perspective with Cameron Jordan, who's going to be going up against Jordan Mills, and then Alex Okafor, a player they're pretty happy with in terms of what he's brought to their defensive front. And that's the guy that Deion Dawkins will be dealing with on Sunday primarily.
All right, Chris Brown, looks like they're wrapping up the open portion of practice. We thank you, Chris, for joining us out there. And is it cold out, Chris? You look a little cold.
No, sun's out, so it feels warmer, but the air temperature is probably somewhere around 40.
Okay, well, perfect. That's what it's going to be on Sunday, too. Thanks, Chris. Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, joining us from the Bills practice field. I checked earlier today, Donald, for game time. The forecast now for Sunday, mostly cloudy skies, high 44, light winds, south-southeast at 8 miles per hour and just a 20% chance of rain. Can deal with all that. I don't know if the Saints can.
We're going to see. I was watching the game, them versus the Packers, you know, and they had some Drew Brees threw an interception in that game. Ted Ginn dropped the punt in that game, you know, so we'll see if they can come up here and handle some colder weather, you know, maybe some weather conditions type of thing, wind maybe, you know, let's see if they can handle that stuff.
I looked at that game at Lambeau 3 weeks ago, 52 degrees at Lambeau. And I came across this stat. Now, look, I'm not hanging my hat on this as the key to the game or anything, but it is worth noting. This was CBSSports.com came up with this. So this Sunday, the forecast, as I said, calls for what, 43 degrees, 44 degrees? Mm-hmm. CBS.com says since 2006, when Drew Brees signed on with the Saints, they played 11 regular season games in temperatures at 45 degrees or less, 11 of them over 11 years.
That's it?
Yep.
Wow.
Because, you know, they're indoors half the time, and they play in the NFC South.
True.
The record in that game, those 11 games, 4 wins, 7 losses. And the Saints haven't won a game in temperatures cooler than 45 in a couple of years since 2014. So is that going to decide the game, playing outdoors? No. But they're not used to it, and they're not, you know, they're 4-7 when the temperature's 45 degrees or less.
Look, I don't think it's something you hang your hat on, but I think you clearly saw when Oakland came in here a couple of weeks ago, they were affected by colder, you know, the rain and everything as they, you know, the Bills caused so many turnovers, just raking the ball out and different things like that. I think it truly affected those guys. You can see them when they come out of the locker room in warmups. You know, you're in the stadium, you can just see guys like, whoo, it's a little chilly out here, you know, and it's not something that they're used to. And as you get into the game, you know, and maybe you're standing on the sideline a long period of time, then all of a sudden it's like, now I got to go out on the field, I'm cold. You know, it is something that you have to deal with if you're not used to it coming up from a dome. It's just totally different.
They are a dome team, no question about that. It's the Bills and the Saints Sunday. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff. We told you about the weather. Let's tell you about the show. Let's tell you about what's coming up over the next few hours here as Donald and I broadcast live from our One Buffalo studio in Orchard Park. Happy to have you with us here today, whether you're tuned in on the radio on our flagship in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550, or maybe on television side at MSG. On the show, you just heard from Chris Brown. Coming up at the bottom of this hour, Tyrod Taylor met with the media today. We'll hear from Tyrod coming up at 12:30. 1 o'clock, Hall of Fame running back Thurman Thomas makes his regular weekly appearance with us. Thurman coming in at 1. 1:30 after practice, we'll hear from the Bills locker room. We have a request out for a player, and hopefully we get him, and we'll hear from LeSean McCoy after the show. We also want to hear from you, and we want to engage with you on this game, and more importantly, look forward to the second half of the season. It's our Twitter poll today. about the second half of the season. And we know what's gone on so far. We've recapped a lot, Donald and I have, over the last couple of days about the season to date, you know, talking about offensive MVPs, defensive MVPs. Now looking forward, what's the biggest key to the Bills making the playoffs? Five wins now? I don't know if nine wins get you in.
Mm-hmm.
10 wins you would think would get you in. Certainly six more wins, 6-2 down the stretch would certainly get you in. But all of that aside, we want to know from you, what do you think is the biggest key to the Bills making the move, getting four or five or maybe six wins or more down the stretch here? What's the biggest key to the Bills making the playoffs in your view? Project out a little bit. Let us know what you think is important going forward. It's our Twitter poll. What's the biggest key to the Bills making the playoffs? That's a heck of a Twitter poll, Donald. Look at that. That's almost evenly dispensed.
I'll take credit for coming up with that.
Why would you do that? You heard me come up with that. What are you talking about? Why would you take credit for that?
I think that
was mine, wasn't it?
Our producer's saying it was his. So who came up with this? Nobody knows.
I am the author of this Twitter poll, and I'm happy to see how close it is because I think it reflects, you know, concerns that people have for the you know, the final eight games of the season and maybe hopes and aspirations for the final eight games. So what's the biggest key to the Bills making the playoffs? A very tight Twitter poll right now. 33% of respondents right now say it is tighter defensive play. 30% say a consistent run game. 29% say the addition of Calvin Benjamin, the return of Charles Clay in the offense. 8% have something else in mind. Let us know what you have in mind. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. What is the biggest key to the Bills making the playoffs this year, moving forward these final eight games? Can I cast a vote? I won't vote on Twitter.
Go ahead.
Tighter defensive play, Donald. It's a bit of a concern with me. The more I spent a lot of time last night looking into numbers, thinking about trends, thinking about the way they've been playing lately, and they got to get better on defense. They have to get better on defense, and they're going to be challenged against the number two offense in the NFL this week against the New Orleans Saints. We talked about it yesterday, 13.5 points per game allowed in the first 4 weeks, 23, almost 24 points per game allowed in the last four, the 22nd-ranked defense in the NFL. Now, they got by with all those takeaways they had, but those takeaways dried up against the Jets, and they weren't able to get by. Gave up some points to the Jets. So, to me, the key to the Bills making the playoffs is tighten it up on defense. Certainly, they will benefit from a more consistent run game. Certainly, there was assets coming, as we said, with Chris Brown, with Calvin Benjamin, Charles Clay in the offense. But if they tighten up on defense, which I believe they're capable of, with this coaching staff, with Sean McDermott's focus on defense, I think they would probably go ahead and make the playoffs. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I'm going to agree with you there. I think coming into the season, what were we saying? You know, well, we thought this offense, okay, this offense was top 10 scoring offense last year. They need to fix the defense. Well, right now, they do need to tighten up on defense. You know, they've been creating a lot of turnovers, but you're not going to live and die. You can't live and die off of turnovers. It just doesn't. You can't do that for a full season. You can't sustain that for a full season. So you need to be able to shut teams down, you know, and you need to be able to just keep them from moving the ball consistently down the field, eating up clock. Because, look, I understand that yards might not win games, you know, but when you talk about the teams that they have coming up and the quarterbacks that they have coming up, these dudes will score in the red zone. It's rare that you're just going to shut them down. Once they get into the red zone, I mean, they're going to put some points on the board, you know, and Drew Brees and Phillip Rivers and Brady and Alex Smith. So you need to make sure that you do a good job out in the field of getting three and outs. Get off the field. Get your offense back on the field so that your offense has more opportunities to score points. And your offense has more opportunities to gel now with a new receiver and try to get that run game going so that your offense can eat up the clock, you know. And so I think they need to tighten up on defense. If you tighten down on defense, your offense is going to be fine. You know, but you need to be able to get off the field and create turnovers, continue to create turnovers, but you got to get off the field.
Yeah, and that's important to know, too. And look, the turnovers, the takeaways were huge in that string, you know, the victories they were having. And I don't know if that's over. I mean, just because they didn't get any against the Jets, and now, I mean, you might be tempted to think, well, that was nice while it lasted. Well, no. I mean, they are a turnover-based defense. They play zone that gets people around the football. They have a turnover mentality. And I keep thinking back to that kick return against Oakland when Matt Milano, who had already scored on a fumble earlier, was in there raking away at the football. That mentality serves them well. There's no reason why that can't continue, at least that mentality, and the turnovers will follow. But You need to be better on defense. You need to be better against the pass primarily. You need to be better against the run. And this will be the challenge for them coming up this week against the New Orleans Saints. So let us know what you think. What's the biggest key to the Bills making the playoffs? Give us a call, 803-0550, or toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Or you can weigh in on Twitter. A couple of tweets on this. Todd Mancuso says, might have to start passing to set up the run and loosen up 8 or 9 in the box. Too often, Rico has not kept the defense off balance. They know what's coming. Start game heavy with pass, then quick hits in the run. They are better equipped now to do that. Not that I'd consider that a key, but I see your point there, Todd Mancuso, and they are much better equipped to do that now that they have Calvin Benjamin and Charles Clay returning.
They are. They are definitely much better equipped. When you get those two guys in a lineup, and I was talking about it yesterday, you know, Calvin Benjamin is looked at as a big outside receiver, but he can move in the slot. You know, you can move those guys around, and I hope Coach Rick Dennison is creative in everything that he's doing. Look, you can run the same 15 plays all game. I don't care. But as long as you move these guys around so that the Saints don't understand what it is that you're doing and you create matchups, you know, and that's what this game is about, it's going to force the defense to have to worry about those two guys, all right? Even if we had Chris Brown on and talking about Charles Clay, even if Charles Clay is on a pitch count, when he comes in the game and Tyrod Taylor gets him the ball, they have to focus on where he is, all right? If Kelvin Benjamin is in the game, Tyrod Taylor, get him the ball so that they have to focus on those two guys. And that will open things up for everybody else, and it will back the defense off of this offensive line and LeSean McCoy, and then we can see some big runs out of LeSean McCoy. He should be the happiest person with the signing of a guy like Kelvin Benjamin and bringing back Charles Clay. LeSean McCoy, not Tyrod Taylor, LeSean McCoy, because this offense last year and the last couple of years, you know, live and died off of the run game and what LeSean McCoy is able to do, you know, and he hasn't been able to truly get going on a consistent basis this year. Now you bring in a big weapon outside, you bring back Charles Clay, he should be the happiest guy on this team right now.
A couple of other tweets before we get to calls on this question. What will it take for the Bills to make the playoffs? Jerry tweets in, continued defensive domination because I don't know if the offense can carry us. I don't know if they're dominating on defense. I don't think they are. They were early, first four games. They got a ton of takeaways that helped them along, but I don't know that it's continued defensive domination. Yeah. Continued being the problem right there. I do think defense holds the key. And another one, Ed Sepsi tweets in, quarterback play, end of discussion. No, that's not the end of the discussion.
No.
Tyrod's been okay. Tyrod's been better than okay the last few games.
Yeah.
Not the end of discussion. That's not the key. If Tyrod plays the way he's played the first half of the season, you won't really be able to ask too much more from him, I believe.
It's not quarterback play. Yeah, you need your quarterback to play well. You need him to win games. If they get into these games late in the fourth quarter and he might have to drive the team, I get all of that stuff. But your defense needs to play better than they have been playing. You know, even if you take away the turnovers, if we took away all of the turnovers that this defense has created this year, what would we say about this defense? This defense is not playing that well.
Right.
That's exactly what we would say. But because they've created so many turnovers, it, as we talked about yesterday, it has masked everything that they have done wrong this year, you know. So they need to play tighter, they need to play better, and you need to be able to run the ball, you know. And running the ball, that means you got to get the ball to those receivers outside so that the defense backs up. Now you can run the ball. It's a complete game. It's not just about quarterback play.
Right. Let us know what you think. What's the key to the Bills making the playoffs? That's where we start the discussion today. Lines are open at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550. We'll start with Tony in Buffalo. Hello, Tony. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
Good.
Yeah, see, to me, we've seen this show before, you know what I'm saying? 5-3, 4-3 in the first half of the season. I think the Bills' Achilles heel has been the second half of the season. Second half is where the men get separated from the boys, you know, how the New England and the Pittsburghs make the playoffs, you know what I mean?
Here's the thing, Tony. I know what you're saying, and I know Bills fans feel that way, but it's happened 5-3, 4-4 first half of the season, and then some collapses during this long playoff drought. But what do those teams have to do with this year's team? This is an entirely different coaching staff, a new GM, a totally remade roster. Do you think these guys here know what went on here 4, 5, 6 years ago and care for that matter? Do you really think they do?
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. I'm talking about they have to man up for the last 8 games, you know what I mean? It's just, that's how it's been. That wasn't 4 or 5 years ago. It's been like every year. You know what I mean? Once you put in that work, everything will be all right.
Okay. Thanks, Tony. You know, Sean McDermott was asked today about his team's confidence level coming off the tough loss a week ago now, 6 days ago at the New York Jets. The head coach was asked if his team's confidence took a hit based on the loss at the Jets. And here's what the head coach had to say about that this morning.
No, I mean, we don't put too much into one game. You know, I was asked this, I believe it was Monday, and we've got a group of guys that work hard, and, you know, you got to learn from it. You either win or you learn, and we learned. We learned a lot of valuable lessons, and I learned a little bit more about our team, and I think they learned how important it is to stay on your game in order to sustain winning, and that's hard to do in this league is sustain success. And so, you know, that's probably the biggest thing we took out of that game, and then how important fundamentals are, right? So if you don't use it, you lose it. And we've got to continue to drill it. And that's a challenge. I mean, it's a challenge every week around the league, just like the jump shot is in the NFL, right? It's somewhat of a lost art. So we've got to continue to drill those because those correlate to winning.
He does when it seems – and, you know, we're all learning about the head coach – when the going gets tough, you know what I think I like about this coach? He just bores down on the fundamentals.
I mean, that's what it really is.
Yeah.
You know, we always talk about.
You don't see him looking for some scheme that's going to fix his defense.
Yeah.
It's all about, we got to tackle better. That's fundamentals. We got to play this technique better, right? And yeah. I kind of like that about him. It's not like, you know, there's a silver bullet scheme out there that's going to fix what's wrong with the defense the last couple of weeks.
Because, look, I can put you in the right spot, but if you don't make the play, you know, they didn't make plays last week. They didn't make tackles. They didn't make the interception when they had that opportunity. They fumbled the ball when they were going in to score touchdowns. They didn't make plays, you know. So it's fundamentals, blocking, tackling, catching the ball, holding on to the ball, you know, all of this stuff, kicking the ball the right way. It all just boils down to fundamentals, and every coach will tell you that. You know, look, I can scheme all of this stuff up, but if you guys don't do what you're supposed to fundamentally, we're still not going to be successful, you know? And that's why it really is, and I think I've heard Coach McDermott say this, it really is a players' league. Coaches, they have a huge role in this and scheming everything up, you know? But still, if we came up with the best play in the world, the best defense, and then all of a sudden you get one person doesn't make his block, well, Tyrod Taylor gets sacked then. You know, he can't get that pass off, and you got a receiver running down the field wide open. So it really just comes down to fundamentals. Do your job.
Here's a call from Al in Niagara Falls. Hello, Al. Welcome to the show. You're on the air with us.
Yeah, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to tell you, I think the defense is missing Darius. I know nobody wants to talk about it, but Darius was a starter at one time, and although his time had failed with the rotation they had him in, now that he's not there, that puts pressure on that rotation.
You know what I think, Al? You're not wrong. Marcel only started 3 games this year, and he was playing about 25% of the snaps. You know what they missed? They don't miss Marcell Dareus from this year or last year. They missed Marcell Dareus from like 3 years ago when he was a dominant force against the run. That guy was gone. That's why he was expendable, I think. Hopefully, for his sake, he gets it back. That's the Marcell Dareus they missed. Go ahead, Al.
But, John, I think even with him there, there was a pressure on the guys that were in the rotation to perform in order to get playing time on the field. With him not there, that pressure's gone now. They're not competing for that time the way they were. So now they're not up to performing because they're going to be out there anyway because you've lost that guy in the rotation that was helping to put that on. Plus, I think Marcel's, some of his benefit was that the quarterback couldn't escape up the middle, whether he got sacks or not, because that was one thing with the Jets quarterback. He escaped up the middle all the time.
Hmm. What do you think of that, Donald?
That's part of the problem.
I think the one thing that you can say about Marcel not being here is you don't have as much, and I always say girth, but you don't have as much size up front.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that showed in the Jets game was they were able to run the ball just down the gut of the defensive front. Hopefully we don't continue to see this, but the Saints are a very good running team as well, you know, so – I think you do miss some of that from Marcel, but Marcel wasn't the Marcell Dareus that we all know, you know, last year or this year.
Wasn't the Dareus they paid.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Wasn't worth that money. I think that contributed to it, obviously. As I said, you miss the Marcell Dareus from 2014, 2015.
Mm-hmm.
The Dareus you have in the last couple of years was expendable.
Yeah,
and they moved
was.
Him.
So, you know, the fact of the matter is this is a business. He moved on. These guys have to they were rotating anyway. It wasn't even like he was
25%
playing
25% of the snaps.
Yeah, either. You know, it's not even like he was playing 80% of the snaps every game and was making plays out there. They were rotating even when they were playing very well against the run. They were still rotating guys in and out. Last week, it just they didn't play well. They didn't tackle well. They didn't do anything well. So that's why, for me, it's just get back down to fundamentals. I don't care if it's Kyle, Jarrell Worthy, Adolphus Washington. If you do your job, then you're going to make plays. If you're not doing your job, then you won't be able to make plays, and it's going to reflect in the win-loss column.
Here's a call on Marcel, I believe, from Jerry in Webster, New York. Hello, Jerry. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, John. Hi, Don.
What's up?
Well, Al from Niagara Falls stole a little bit of my thunder. However, I noticed that we have kind of an anemic pass rush, and we try to compare it to the team we had 3 years ago. And like the gentleman said before, we have Darius in the middle, who's a much bigger player than what we have now in the middle. And we have Mario Williams, who was a freak of an athlete that helped out taking pressure off other players. I mean, Darius used to get double team all the time, and that would free up other players. I'm not sure we have those kind of players right now. I'm going to hang up. I'd like to hear what your comments are. Okay, guys?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, look, I totally agree with you. When Marcel Darius is on, you have to pay attention to him. It's just like we're talking about on the offensive side with Benjamin and Charles Clay. Charles Clay, the Saints know that Charles Clay is coming back off, maybe it's coming back off of a knee injury. They'll know that he's dealing or has been dealing with something in the game, and they're going to say, okay, he's not 100%. But when he's on the field, we got to pay attention to him. Marcel Darius was that type of player. You know, you got to pay attention to him because, you know, if you leave him one-on-one, he might get in the backfield and start wreaking havoc on your offense.
Are we talking about
you know?
Marcel Darius 2016, 2017 vintage? Or
I think it's just the mindset of that's Marcel Darius. Even though he hasn't been the same Marcel Darius, we know what he can do if we leave him one-on-one every play, you know? And so maybe, you know, because the pass rush has gone anemic, and maybe I would have to go back and watch film, but when he was in there, I don't know if he was being double-teamed or not. But I do, as we talked about, when he was in there, you have to pay attention to him. And if you leave him one-on-one once and he might make a play in the backfield, even if it's just stopping the run, you probably think twice about that. We need to double-team him. And that can open up Kyle. That can open up Jerry. I don't know if anybody up there right now is being double-teamed, and they're still not able to get that pass rush going, you know, yeah. Which is why we're saying they got to dial up some blitzes or something like that. Yeah.
All right, we're going to keep going on this because I can tell it resonates with folks on the Twitter poll and on the telephone line. What do you think? What's it going to take for the Bills to get in the playoffs and get to that 9-win, 10-win or more plateau? Give us a call, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Thurman Thomas joins us about a half hour away. More of your phone calls coming up. And we'll hear from Tyrod Taylor as he spoke with the media before practice today. So come on back. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. Live from One Bills Drive, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back. John Murphy, Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio inside the AdPro Sports Training Center. Outside in the sunshine, the cold sunshine of Orchard Park, Bills practice going on. Charles Clay is back, as Chris Brown told us at the top of the show. I'm not sure if he'll be limited. At least going into the day, Sean McDermott said he expected limited work from the tight end Charles Clay with his knee, but he was out there when Chris was out there. E.J. Gaines expected to be limited today. No practice today for left tackle Cordy Glenn, still with those foot and ankle issues. And no practice today for wide receiver Zay Jones with his knee. We're talking to you about the rest of the season and what it'll take for the Bills to get in the playoffs. Not wins, not how many wins, but what has to change and their approach, what has to change and what they're doing to get into the playoffs. That's our Twitter poll, and it's a pretty evenly split Twitter poll right now. The Buffalo Bills to get into the playoffs, what will it take? And so far on Twitter, as I said, the balloting pretty even. 33% say tighter defensive play. That's where I line up. 30% say consistent run game. 29% say the addition of Kelvin Benjamin, the return of Charles Clay in the offense should get him in the playoffs. 8% say something else. Lines are open if you care to weigh in. 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Kim calling from Niagara Falls. Hello, Kim. Welcome. You're on the air with us. Kim in Niagara Falls. Hello, Kim.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can now, yes. How are you?
Okay. How you guys doing?
Great.
Just wanted to say that I think it's going to take a lot of different ingredients for the Bills to make the playoffs, but that aside, what I saw last game that was worrisome to me was the tackling. Missed tackles, slip tackles. And I don't know if that's because they're trying to get the ball out to create turnovers or I don't know. What do you guys think about that? Did you notice that as well?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think I saw one count of 20 missed tackles. I think somebody had totaled them up.
That's horrible.
And it's about crazy. Three times more than any previous game this season. Like I remember a couple of games with maybe a total of – I mean, it depends on how you measure a missed tackle, but it was a big jump.
You know, it's not something we've seen out of this team all year,
yeah.
You know. And you do have to wonder, okay, we've been creating so many turnovers. Are these guys turnover – hungry or happy now, or they're just trying to go for the ball, and then all of a sudden when you get a team that's actually holding on to the ball, then it's like, because think about it, coming out of the Oakland game, I mean they created a lot of turnovers in that game. Going into the Jets game, you didn't have the same type of weather or anything like that, and the Jets running backs just did a good job of holding on to the ball and the receivers and everybody, you know. So you do have to wonder if that's what they're thinking about when they're going to make tackles instead of, let me make a form tackle and get this guy to the ground.
I wondered, too, and this we're not finding excuses here, so be careful. But Thursday after a Sunday, it was a fairly physical game against the Oakland Raiders prior to Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as we all thought for Richie Incognito, like, well, that's the wrong thing to say at this time. But he did. There was a kernel of truth there about the difficulty playing on Thursday night. And I wonder if that was manifested in the missed tackles because – tackling is a physical thing, and it's a kind of a discipline fundamental thing. And if you're exhausted or hurt or bumped up a little bit or not fully recovered, it seems to me that kind of fundamental might be the first thing to go.
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely – tackling is a physical thing. I don't know if – you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people that are listening to us that have played football and had to make tackles. But in the NFL, it is a lot, you know, and it's serious when they say you're literally like in a car crash every time you make a hit in the NFL or every time you get hit.
Yeah.
So imagine, if you were in a car crash every play, you know, if you were in a car crash every day, you'd be like, man, my body is hurting now, you know.
I'm not getting in the car.
And then they're like, well, we need you to drive tomorrow and get in another car accident. Yeah. And you're like, what are we talking about right now? So, yeah, it's a physical thing. And if your body has not healed all the way, that's why they talk about those physical running backs like a Marshawn Lynch, those type of guys, or Adrian Peterson in his prime, how they will wear down a defense, you know. And it's by the time you get to the end of the game and those guys are now, they're rolling, and you're like, I don't want to hit him again because I've been hitting him all day, and it's wearing on my body. My head hurts, everything. I don't want to hit this dude again. It's kind of you would have that, I guess, effect on a short week at a Thursday type of game. The Jets running backs were running hard, you know, and they were missing tackles. But for me, I think I saw a lot of guys going for the ball and not making short tackles.
That kind of poor tackling that Kim from Niagara Falls just pointed out will be the death of the Bills if they continue that up. I don't believe they will, but we'll find out. They've got a tough challenge defensively this week going up against Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints. Mm-hmm. Donald and I are going to talk about that over the next couple of days, what we see on video from the Saints. But the video's out there. Take a look for yourself. Tyrod Taylor knows what to expect. Tyrod met with the media just about an hour and a half or so ago before practice began, talked about this game coming up, and was asked if he's ready for a shootout against Drew Brees this Sunday.
Definitely. His team that we're facing in the Saints, definitely a high-scoring offense and a very talented defense. So we have to be prepared to score when we're on offense and capitalize on possessions.
Drew Brees obviously is one of the greatest of all time. Do you appreciate that being not a 6'5" guy, that he is a smaller quarterback who has excelled in this league for a long time? Do you look at him, see what he does, and kind of pay attention to how that might help your game?
Yes, Drew is one of my favorite quarterbacks of all time, somebody that I definitely watched growing up. Had a chance to meet him a couple years ago and actually see some of the things he does in the offseason and how he works and how he approaches the game. So definitely somebody that I admire. But this week we get a chance to go against each other team-wise, and I'm excited for the matchup that this team presents.
Tyrod, what is it that drew you to Drew? Obviously he's talented, but what is it about his style and what he's done that caught your
Of course, like you said, he's talented, but just from a size factor, somebody that I could compare myself to as far as moving in the pocket and finding throwing lanes and actually playing the game from the pocket.
Even back when Doug Marone was here, that was before your time, but everybody talks about Drew's work ethic and his practice habits.
What have you garnered from him in the time that you've been here?
Just a hard worker. He's going to try to outwork anybody, any and everyone. But he brings the intensity to the workouts. Very disciplined guy, and he wants success for his guys. So, I mean, he's that example whenever he leads the workout.
How much do you think it'll mean to you, to the passing game, to have Calvin Benjamin?
It's definitely big to get him in. He's a talented receiver, a big target for sure. As he continues to keep learning the playbook and the things that we're doing here, we have to find ways to give him opportunities to make plays. And that's my job. That's Rico's job. As an offense, we just have to welcome him in and allow him to go out there and play free.
Is he one of those guys where, with his size, I mean, such an advantage over most backs, would you be more apt to throw it up to him and let him go get it as opposed to maybe other wide receivers we're more close to the size of their defenders?
If you look at the plays he's made over his career, he's definitely made a bunch of contested throws. And, like you said, just got to give him a chance in those opportunities where it's him one-on-one with the DB. More times than likely, he's going to have the size advantage. So we've talked and trying to get on the same page, and it's going to take reps. But just, like you said, give him a chance. His ball or nobody's ball.
As a player, as a quarterback, or as just a teammate, how much do you appreciate your coaching staff and management going out in midseason and making this kind of deal? When there was so much talk earlier in the year, who knows how good this team's going to be. Some people are saying the Bills might be tanking. But for you guys now going out to make a play for a guy like Benjamin, what does it say about the team?
Some of the stuff that we preached from day one. I think the outside perception is definitely one thing. But from an inside out, we believe that this team is capable of being one of the best Bills teams, and that we have to go out there and prove it. But them making a move as far as going to get Benjamin, helping out our offense, helping out the wide receiver room, and just adding another playmaker to this team, I definitely shows that they're serious about winning, and we are as a team.
Coach Dennison said on Monday that he actually apologized to you guys for not being more effective at the start of games, start of the second half, where you guys have kind of had problems putting up points in the fashion that you'd like. What has to come together there, maybe between the guys executing on the field and coach, to maybe be more effective early in games or coming out of locker room?
Just like you said, it boils down to us execute. Regardless of what coach calls, we have to go out there and make it work. And that relies on the players. And I take responsibility of that as well, too. So, like I said, just executing early on, getting a feel for what teams are doing, on the first couple of drives as well, too, and making those right adjustments. But execution is what it boils down to.
How big of a concern is it for you, Tyra, that the last game you played, sacked 7 times, under siege a whole lot, and you just seem like you never often had a chance to do much of anything in the passing game?
It was a great defensive lineman, a great defensive group that we faced. As far as up front, those guys do a great job of pressuring the quarterback and pushing the pocket. Our guys fought as hard as they could. Like I said, after the game, they just beat us. And fair and square, don't make any excuses. The things we have to be able to do is look at that game with an honest eye, correct it, and I think we've done that. And moving forward, we have to just have a plan that we can go out there and execute better.
I know you may have to see it before you can give an accurate answer on this, but are you almost anticipating that just Kelvin's presence on the field will help to shift the focus of opposing defenses here going forward?
Definitely have to get out there and see how defenses view him in our offense. But it's definitely going to draw some attention. Like I said, he's had success in his years playing in the NFL, and he's definitely going to bring eyes that way. But as well as we have a bunch of playmakers possibly coming back, and a guy like Charles who also opens up things as well, too. So we have to see once we get out there on the field.
When you talk about Kelvin's size and the ability to throw it up to him, how much does it accelerate the trust process when you can have that as opposed to maybe a smaller receiver that relies more on timing with you to develop in order to get a moment?
Like I said, he's definitely a big target, and some of those 50-50 jump balls, you definitely can trust that he'll make a play on it. Like I said, that's what he's made a bunch of his plays, especially in the red zone in his career, is going up and making catches, making contested catches. So I have to give him those opportunities to be able to make those plays.
All right, how much value is there, Mike? I know you make it a point to talk to receivers, especially new ones coming in the door, to kind of get the rapport with them. Is there value in you maybe talking to Joe a little bit, knowing he's thrown to Kelvin over the years?
Yeah, me and Joe have talked. He was actually the one that broke the news, or one of the guys that broke the news to me when we first got him. Just some of the things that he noticed while with Kelvin in Carolina, some of the things he did well, and just ways to allow him to make plays. So we've definitely had that conversation, and it will continue to go on.
Tara, I was weekend, how much scouting did you do of Kelvin himself? Going back and watching what he did.
Yes, we have a cut-up that was made, and I was able to watch some plays of his and try to get a feel from him watching film. Like I said, the reps and stuff are limited. We was able to get some extra reps after practice this past, well, 2 days ago, Monday. So got to continue to keep building the chemistry mentally and on the field as well.
Typically, when you face a rookie corner, you might want to attack him, but Marshawn has played really well, Lattimore on the other side. What do you see? What makes him kind of stand out to you when you watch him on film?
Confident guy. Doesn't mind pressing, which is kind of rare sometimes in rookies. Those guys on that side of the ball, the younger guys are definitely playing well. Like I said, it's more so about confidence, and they've made some plays, him in particular, early on. So got to have the right plan going against him and going out there and executing and challenging him.
You surprised, going back to the sacks, you surprised that Rick or you guys didn't maybe throw a little bit, a few more screens or, you know, try to get the ball up quickly out to the side, you know, just to try to negate that rush?
That's looking back at his base. Definitely something that we could have done. I wouldn't say it caught me by surprise. I think coaches and players definitely learned from that game what we could do better, and I think we've attacked that so far.
Trey White, the second time after a game, blamed himself for the team losing as a leader, even though he's a defensive player. Would you ever go to him and say, look, kid, don't be so hard on yourself?
Absolutely. Of course, I mean, guys, you never want to let teammates down, but this game doesn't boil down to him. It was a collective effort. We all took our fair share in that loss. Definitely, like you said, as a young guy, you don't want him to get down on himself. He's a very good player. Got to continue to keep playing with confidence for the rest of the season because we're going to need him to make plays.
Tyrod Taylor, Bills quarterback, addressing the media before practice today. They are out on the practice field right now. Tyrod, some interesting things to say, Donald. We talked about how his play, I think, has been in an uptick for a couple of weeks. The numbers don't quite reflect it, although there are a couple of numbers. Chris Brown came up with these numbers against the blitz. Did you know, Donald, against the blitz, Tyrod has the highest passer rating in the league, 132.8. What does that tell you about Tyrod Taylor?
First of all, I have to look more into it and see how much teams are really blitzing him.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, when a team blitzes Tyrod Taylor, if they don't get home, it leaves him a lot of space to go.
Yeah.
You know, so he's good at what it tells me is he can get the ball out. He recognizes the blitz. He can either get the ball out or he's able to get out of that blitz and take it for some yardage, you know. He's high, I guess, efficient in throwing the ball against the blitz, and that's a good thing. You need to understand where a team is blitzing from, who you have hot, all of that stuff. You know, it just lets you know that everybody's on the same page out there.
Yeah. It's interesting stuff with Tyrod. We'll talk more about that. I want to talk with you about what it'll take for the Bills to get into the playoffs, where they're headed these next 8 games. Give us a call, 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Back with your calls in a moment. Thurman Thomas coming up at 1 o'clock here on the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones. We're live at One Bills Drive. The Bills are out on the practice field. We're talking with you about what it's going to take for the Buffalo Bills to finish strong here, second half of the season, get in the playoffs. Kenny calling from Rochester. Hello, Kenny. Welcome to the show. Kenny, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. My question is, Lorenzo Alexander. So we need some sacks that he was providing last year. And that's what's really, you know, in the long run hurting us is the pass rush. You know, we signed him to a big contract, but we ain't getting no sacks. And he's hurting us against the run on pass coverage.
What do you think, Donald?
Well, I'll say this. The sacks have dried up for everybody.
Yeah.
He signed a contract. He didn't sign a big contract, which he pointed out actually earlier back in the spring we had him on. But, obviously they brought him back for a reason. And Lorenzo did play well last year in the beginning of the season. The first couple of games he was getting to the quarterback. The sacks have dried up for everybody, yeah. And I don't know what that is, but they're not able to get home with just four. And I don't even remember – has Lorenzo been down on the line? Like, has he been rushing the quarterback that often?
No, I was just going to say he's in a different defense now. I think we'll talk to him Friday. I think he's got pretty different responsibilities.
Yeah, he's just playing more linebacker, true linebacker type of responsibilities. But the sacks, for everybody else, guys like Shaq, guys like Jerry, you expect for these guys, they are your ends, and you expect for these guys to put pressure on the quarterback. They haven't been doing that consistently, and to be honest, I don't expect it this week because Drew Brees gets the ball out so fast that I don't expect him to get home. But Drew Brees is like 6'1". They need to at least be able to get close enough to bat some balls down or something like that. You need more pressure on the quarterback. That's just what it is. You need more pressure on the quarterback. And then last week, you had to take the turnovers dry up. So what can you hang your hat on with this defense?
I know I have started digging into the video. But it just jumps out at you how fast the ball comes out of Drew Brees' hands. And just what a – he's unbelievable. We don't see him enough here in Buffalo to have full appreciation of his skill set, his command of the offense, clearly now working with Sean Payton for all that time. 38 years old, but the ball just flies out of his hand. 8 sacks in 8 games, there's a reason for that. And it's not that they've got a tremendous offensive line. It's that Brees refused to let it happen.
Drew Brees can read a defense as well as any quarterback in this league, if not better than any quarterback in this league. This dude reads the defense. And, like, when you watch it and if you truly understand, if you were to go back and watch the All-22 film of the Saints and their big plays and stuff, if you truly understand defenses, you will know, the things that he's reading. And when you watch him do it, it's like, man, this dude is – he is a beast. Like, he's reading this defense so fast and getting the ball to where he wants to go so fast. He's not staring down receivers or anything like that. He's so good at manipulating safeties, looking off quickly, coming back to where he truly wants to go with the ball and throwing it right there, throwing it on a dart, And then the dude is 6 feet tall. That's what really amazes me, that he's 6 feet and has never used that as an excuse. Like, you don't see people complain about Drew Brees is too short to play quarterback. This dude gets it to people. He drops it over linebackers, right underneath the safeties, as we were talking about yesterday. He can see the whole field. He commands the entire field, the entire huddle. He's good.
What a challenge is going to be this Sunday. We're going to talk more about it. We're going to talk with Thurman Thomas about it when we come back after the top of the hour. 1 hour done, 2 to go. Come on back to John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
The update from One Bills Drive. Bills on the practice field as we speak, getting set for this Sunday's game against the New Orleans Saints. No practice today for left tackle Cordy Glenn with his foot and ankle injury. He is not at practice. No practice for rookie wide receiver Zay Jones with his knee injury. Charles Clay is at practice on a limited basis, and he's coming back from that knee injury that's kept him out for a couple of games. Cornerback E.J. Gaines also practicing on a limited basis today. Forecast for Sunday for the game against the Saints calls for mostly cloudy skies and a high of 44 degrees. Bills-Saints Sunday, 1 o'clock here at New Era Field. Well, doctors did not find any additional damage in the knee of Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson. They performed ACL surgery this morning in Houston on the rookie quarterback. He tore the ACL in his right knee during practice a week ago, although video shows he may have initially been injured in Week 8 in a loss to Seattle. The projected timeline for Watson's recovery is said to be 8 to 9 months. He returned from a torn left ACL in 5 months while he was in college at Clemson. Sam Bradford has had a knee scope and is expected to go on injured reserve. The Vikings quarterback had his troublesome knee scoped by Dr. James Andrews yesterday. Only 8 weeks left in the regular season. Bradford's window for return has already been shrinking. The Vikings have been going with Case Keenum as their quarterback. And the NFL has upheld its one-game suspension for Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receiver Mike Evans, suspended one game without pay for violating unsportsmanlike conduct and unnecessary roughness rules during their loss to New Orleans last week. He appealed the ruling, but it was upheld by the hearing officer. Sabres rallied with 2 goals in the third period en route to a 3-1 win over the Washington Capitals last night. Benoit Pouliot scored the game winner at 3:22 of the third period. Amanda Kane scored his second of the night. Empty netter with 20 seconds remaining. Robin Leonard with 24 saves. Sabres got off to a good start playing the Capitals in their second game in as many nights as they controlled play in the first period. Another home game coming up for Buffalo. They play the Florida Panthers Friday night at the KeyBank Center. And that's the update from One Bills Drive, the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. John Murphy, Donald Jones, joined in studio by our good buddy who joins us most Wednesdays. Happy to have Hall of Fame running back Thurman Thomas with us. Hello, Thurman.
Hey, how are you and Donald? How y'all guys doing today?
We're doing okay.
Doing okay.
Right. Thurman, what's up, man? I was down at your restaurant, down at Batavia
Downs.
I was there. Oh. A nice little spot, man.
I appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. Yeah, it's doing very, very well. The people down at Batavia Downs have done an excellent job of getting a restaurant to go. I mean, they've done renovations down there for the past year and a half. Just put in a hotel, I guess, about 7 or 8 months ago. So, it's a place that I go to all the time. Obviously, having a 34 Rush there, I do have obligations to do stuff. But it's such a great place. I get to meet a lot of people, you know, outside of Buffalo. It's not that far down in Batavia, but, just like to drive down there and take the back roads. And I got a pickup truck, so if I see something on the side of the road for sale, I just buy it and pick it in the back truck.
You know, some people get confused, Thurman, and think that you actually are the chef down there.
I wonder who that could be.
But you're not. But you're not the chef.
I'm not the chef. No, I'm only a chef when my wife's out of town.
Now, I filled in for you because you were in Oklahoma at the game.
Yeah.
I think we have a picture of you on College Game Day. How was that?
It was great, man. You know, I see all those guys all the time. Lee Corso, Reese Davis, Desmond Howard, Kirk Herbstreit. And obviously talking to all those guys before, you know, Kirk, Desmond. Desmond was like, hey, send me some more of them cigars. And I totally forgot that I had sent him some cigars about a year and a half ago. And he was like, I haven't had any since. And, man, but just being there, Lee Corso, I mean, who doesn't know Lee Corso, you know? And, no, it was a great time to be back in Oklahoma. I hadn't been back there in a number of years and really enjoyed the reception that I got there.
Who did Lee Corso pick for that game?
He picked Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I saw
he picked Oklahoma State.
He put the big cowboy hat on, right?
Did he?
The big head on.
Yeah, he put the cowboy hat on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he picked Oklahoma State. I mean.
What a game.
It was a great game.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Oklahoma State came out on the end of it. But it's always a great time down there. I got to see my old good friend, Boone Pickens, who the stadium was named after. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, that kid right there.
Baker Mayfield?
He may be short or whatever that they say. But man, you talk about a guy that can look downfield at all times, whether he's scrambling. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see him getting his teammates involved and high-fiving everybody. I mean, they're going to be questioned about his height.
How short is he? Is he 6 foot? He's 6 foot at least, right?
Maybe. He's like right there with Drew Brees.
Okay.
You know, I don't think Drew might not be quite six, but they say that he's six, you know. So, but what a gamer. What a gamer. And if he was 6'1".
So that means he's 5'11".
Probably, yeah. If he was like 6'4", 6'5", he'd be the number one draft pick in the NFL draft.
And that's what is terrible because he's not going to be the number one pick. It's going to be some of these other guys that probably won't even pan out because none of those guys even look that good to be honest with you. He'll end up going later in the first round or like the teens or something like that because he's shorter and then have a better career than everybody else.
Probably so because, you know.
He's a gamer.
He's a gamer. Yes. He's a gamer. I mean, you go back all the way to the, I don't know what draft it was. You go all the way back to Alex Smith and Aaron Rodgers draft. Mm. You flip those picks.
Yeah.
How great would San Francisco be at this point in time right now? So, I mean, it is – And if he get picked that low, I'm sure he's going to have a chip on his shoulder and want to prove to all rest of the scouts and teams that I'm better than every last one of these quarterbacks that you picked.
Hey, I just heard you sneak in a name drop a minute ago. T. Boone Pickens is a buddy of yours?
Yeah.
He had a picture with him.
Oh, right?
That was T. Boone Pickens. Like. Yeah. He's getting up there in age, you know. So, but we've been friends since, probably for about 20 years now. So, really a great guy. Obviously, at every Oklahoma State game, but still sharp. Way. Yeah, still sharp, man. He's our most famous alumni.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What about you?
I'm like fourth or fifth. Yeah, I'm like fourth or fifth.
It's, who's ahead of you aside from him?
Probably go T-Bone Pickens, Garth Brooks, Barry Sanders, and then probably me.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, at least I'm still top five.
So that means you write the big checks to Oklahoma State every the Alumni Association, right?
Yeah, I do. Actually, I got a scholarship in my name there. I donated back in 1991, my third year into the league. They're the beneficiary of $1 million life insurance that I put up for them.
How did you wind up out there? You growing up in Houston area, right? How did you wind up in Stillwater, Oklahoma?
Yeah, not even Oklahoma, but right. Oklahoma State.
Well, in Oklahoma, they had three running backs. They were running the wishbone. I figured, I probably don't get five carries. But you don't usually go to out of state when you're born in the state of Texas.
In Texas,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, a lot of the schools wanted me to play defensive back, and I didn't want to play defensive back. I wanted to play running back. I was all state in defensive back and running back, and so they wanted me to play defensive back, and I wasn't having any of it. And actually, Jimmy Johnson was the head coach there Oklahoma State. He recruited me. 2 weeks later, he left and went to Miami. So never got to play for him.
But a good weekend, right? You went.
It was a great weekend. Besides the game, it was a great weekend. Got to see a lot of my old teammates, Mitch Nash, Hartley Dykes, a bunch of guys like that. So it was a great weekend. Unfortunately, they didn't win the ball game.
Thurman Thomas in studio with us, and we want to talk about the Bills game. Let's start with this. You mentioned a couple weeks ago you were in New Orleans, and you were kind of buddying up with Drew Brees when you were there. He got your tickets to the game. How do you know Drew Brees?
Years ago, I mean, I'm go back years ago when I got inducted into the Texas Sports Hall of Fame. He was actually, it was so long ago that he was still. I think he was still might have been
high school
in high school.
Really? I feel like he said that he was still in high school.
Yeah, and he came up to me and obviously little kind of, and he was like, "Oh, you're like my favorite player," and I was like, wow, I don't even play quarterback. He said, no, I know you don't play quarterback. You play running back, and I've watched your career because you played our team, my high school, before I got there, and you just destroyed us. And I was like, you became my favorite player. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. So ever since then, man, I think it was his second or third year when he was with the San Diego Chargers, right after he got the injury, we met him and his wife Brittany at somewhere in California, somewhere in Napa. Wine tasting thing, and we've been really in touch ever since then. And he showed me a great time down in New Orleans a couple of weeks ago when the Bills had their bye week in the suite with him, his wife, his dad, stepmom, just four kids that he had just running around, and just a great guy, just a great guy. And I know that you guys talked about this a couple of days ago about like where do you rank him? And he's
up there.
He's up there. He doesn't really get a lot of credit, I think, because he's in New Orleans. The last couple of seasons, they've been 7-9. Mm-hmm. But, they won a Super Bowl. And, five? He's thrown the ball 5,000 yards. And
times.
He's multiple times. And Dan Marino's probably the only other person that done that.
Yeah.
So just an outstanding football player, but also an outstanding human being.
I truly think people sleep on him and how good he is because you look at Tom Brady, he's won all the Super Bowls. You look at Aaron Rodgers, and he's just talented in what he can do with the ball and throws from different angles and all of that stuff. So you're like, man, Aaron Rodgers is a beast. People forget about Drew Brees, obviously, because of where he is. He's shorter. I don't even think people pay attention to his numbers that he puts up every year. Every single year, he's up there around 5,000 yards or above 5,000 yards. And this year, he has a running game as well. Like, for the longest time, it was the Drew Brees show. Everything went through them. Now they have running backs that can make it happen. But watching him on film, Thurm, of the last two games, he is still
And I think what people fail to realize is, Tom Brady's won five Super Bowls or whatever. Drew Brees has won one. He's almost just like Tom Brady in a sense. Name five receivers that have played that he's played with over his career since he's been in New Orleans.
Right.
I mean, I got to go all the way back to Joe Horn.
Yeah.
How does Drew Brees get around the fact that he's only 6 foot tall? Maybe. How does he compensate for that?
Well, you know what? I think when you hear guys who are not like the Peyton Mannings, But you hear stories about Peyton Manning, how he studies all the time. Mm-hmm. That's Drew Brees right there. I guarantee. Once he retires, you'll start hearing more stories about him, you know, how much he really dedicated himself to being the first one in and the last one out.
Yeah.
That's him right there. And, I mean, he just – he knows how to read defense. I think that's the number one thing
that's
right
the,
there.
I mean, that's what I mean. When I was watching film of him, I'm like, this dude is making the perfect reads every time. And the ball is coming out like that. Like, he's reading the defense so fast. It's amazing.
So fast and amazing. And that goes into film study and all the other type of stuff. And then having a coach like Sean Payton doesn't – I mean, it helps him a lot, too. Yeah. I think when you have that type of relationship that they have, you know, sometimes Drew might not see something where Sean come over and tell him, oh, okay, I remember that, yeah. And so you have to have that good relationship, and he's obviously first ballot Hall of Famer.
You know, this is why we talk about Tyrod Taylor here, and if people feel like they want to move on from Tyrod Taylor, you need a quarterback, all that stuff. You know, it's really important to have the same – head coach, the same offensive coordinator, and same quarterback, the same system in place for some years, because Tyrod Taylor is now learning a new system, you know, and he's having to learn a new system, new receivers all at the same time. Not to give him excuses, but if you look at all of these quarterbacks like Breeze and Brady and Rodgers, they've been in the same system. They know the system better than the coach knows the system, you know. So they don't have to worry about what we're doing on offense. I know what we're doing on offense. All I got to worry about is the defense.
That's all you got to worry about.
Yeah.
It's the defense.
Thurman Thomas in studio with us, and we'll take your phone calls for Thurman. I want to get you engaged, Thurman, in what we're talking about on Twitter and on the telephone lines for the first hour of the show. And it's not necessarily this week's game against New Orleans, but kind of a look deeper down the road in the season. The biggest key to the Bills making the playoffs, you know where they sit. They've got 5 wins, 3 losses. It's going to take 4, at least, maybe 5, or you know, hope it doesn't take 6 wins to make the playoffs. But what has to happen for the Bills to make the playoffs? On Twitter, we've been asking people this, and it's a pretty close vote. 33% say they got to get tighter defensively than they have been, especially of late. 30% say they got to get more consistent in the run game. 30% say they've got to get Kelvin Benjamin and Charles Clay in the offense. That should make a difference. 7% say something else. What do you think, Thurman? What's the biggest key to the Bills making the playoffs?
Well, if you look at the losses, haven't really had a lot of turnovers. But if you look at the wins, they've had a ton of turnovers.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that right there can be – I mean, you can flip-flop the tighter defensive plays, or you can flip-flop, you know, maybe more consistent for the running game.
Right.
Because we are getting ready to have some home games here late in December.
Right.
So
right.
The running game needs to be gone. But I definitely do think it's the defense. I really do. I mean, they need to get back to sacking the quarterback, putting a little bit more pressure on the quarterback. Now, I know when they watch film that these offensive coordinators are looking at them going, hey, look, guys, we got to get the ball out.
Yeah.
And they have been doing that the past couple of games. But I do really think it's their defense. Need to put more pressure on the quarterback. And like Bruce Smith always used to say, you don't necessarily need to sack him, but
just move him.
Pat him on the butt every now and then to get his feet moving. And I think that's what they have to do. You know, we haven't seen a lot of blitz packages from this football team. Maybe that's something that we may see in the second half of the season.
Let's take a few phone calls for Thurman on this issue or anything, really. Let's go to Ron in South Buffalo. Ron, you're on the air with us, including Thurman Thomas.
Well, morning, guys. Afternoon, guys. I'm looking back at the Jets game and that, and offensive line play was terrible, and I think a lot of it has to do, first of all, the offensive coordinator didn't make no adjustments. And the Jets would put 8-9 guys at the line of scrimmage, and this is where Tyrod's got to be a little better. I try to figure out by looking in their eyes and stuff like that, who's coming and who's not coming in that. And I don't think he's able to do that. And this is why I think Drew Brees is one of your best quarterbacks. He can read the defense from the line of scrimmage and that. And the defense has got to put more pressure. I agree. Maybe more stunts and stuff like that with the 4 guys that are rushing and that. I'll listen to you guys and see what you say. Okay, bye.
Night. Well, I mean, there's a lot there, and you kind of covered the territory that we have up there on Twitter. But
Well, it's when you're like with Tyrod and offensive coordinator, yeah, it's going to be different, especially this game coming up. Mm-hmm. I mean, because New Orleans defense is –
they're playing well.
They're playing lights out now. I mean, this haven't been the defense that the other Ryan was running for 3-4 years or whatever, getting gashed for 500 yards every single game. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a defense who – I think they went from 28 points allowing to like 19, yeah. 18, 19 yeah. or somewhere around
ninth
there.
In the league right now.
Yeah, and they started off 0-2, and now they're 6-2. Mm-hmm. So obviously, you know, things have to be clicking for them. So, yeah, it's their defense. The game that I was with in New Orleans, it was their defense, man, that really controlled the line of scrimmage. And when you look at the Bills' offensive line and defensive line, they're going to have to play better, no yeah. doubt at all. I mean, when the Jets – and the Jets just dominate that entire football game. And I think the Bills, I think we've been in this conversation before where, hey, we know that we have to play better, especially on the offense and defensive line.
Who'd you see him play, Thurman, the Saints?
Oh, October? Man.
What was it, mid-October, our bye weekend here?
It was our bye weekend. So
I don't have
it might have been.
Detroit?
It might have been Detroit.
Detroit.
I think it might have been Detroit. You know, that's.
And the Saints won. Obviously, they won 6 in a row.
Yeah. It was a high-scoring football game. Actually, their defense didn't play as well that
52-38.
Day. They didn't play. I do remember that. They didn't play as well that day. But, you know, they had, like, three – I think they had three touchdowns on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I remember this game now.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously they're getting – they're running fast to the ball. They're doing an excellent job. Yeah, it's going to be tough for them. But you know what? We're at home.
Right.
We're at home. And I think that gives us an advantage.
You know, people talk – when the Bills had all these turnovers that string, last week they went silent. The Saints have been the same way, just creating turnovers like crazy on defense, you know.
And special scoring touchdowns
on special teams. They started out the game in Tampa Bay, this in New Orleans. But playing Tampa Bay, they blocked the punt and ran it in for a touchdown. The Bills cannot turn the ball over like they did against the Jets.
No.
They can't. You can't win games when you're turning the ball over, especially if you're not an offense that's going to put up 50 points. You know, like if you're an offense that, you know, you might get 25, you might get 30 points a game, you know, and that's at the max. You have to play ahead of the chains. You have to run the ball efficiently, effectively. You can't turn the ball over. When you get in the red zone, you have to score points. You can't make mistakes. Like they made so many mistakes in the Jets game.
Yeah.
It was like, I mean, how many mistakes can you make? You know, yeah. I mean, between the turnovers and the penalties, it was like, dude.
Yeah, this is going to be a game where they can't turn the ball. They can't. I mean, really, when you think about it, they can't get a lot of penalties either.
No.
They can't get a lot of penalties either. And, yeah, this is definitely going to be a tough game for them. But I know I think Tyrod – I think I heard Tyrod say, yeah, I would definitely love a shootout. Now, I don't know if I want a shootout.
I don't know if I want a shootout with
the Saints and Drew Brees. You know what, though? It's you know, I've been hearing people talk about, like, well, you know what, this is an NFC game or what have you. You know, it really doesn't mean too much for the schedule, the win-loss. It means a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what NFC or AFC. I know they're an NFC team, but they're one of the top, maybe the top NFC team in the NFC, I think, with their defense and where they're playing. I think Philly, they're doing well right now, but you know, they got the Cowboys twice, they got the Redskins, so there's still some time in between that. But this is one of the better teams in the National Football League, and to have them at home, 1 o'clock here at New Era, it's a big game for them because it's an even bigger game next week.
Right, exactly, and you know, 6-3 is a big difference from 5-4.
Huge difference, you know, because you're trying to keep up with the Patriots. No matter what that record is, you have to keep up with the New England Patriots and the Pittsburgh Steelers and whoever's leading their division. You have to stay in front of those teams. And a loss, it would hurt you.
Yeah.
I care. Anytime you win, man, it helps you tremendously.
Thurman Thomas in studio with us, the Bills Hall of Fame running back. The Saints and the Bills have only played 11 times. They don't play very often. We know
really?
That. Yeah. And the Saints have won 4 of 5 times they played here in Orchard Park, which is a little stunning.
It is a little stunning.
But I want to ask you about one game in particular. Well,
I'm
just – yeah, he probably get ready to name it.
1989, December, the Saints, I think Bobby Hebert was their quarterback coming in, but he didn't play. Yeah. They started a guy named John Forcade.
John Forcade.
In the snow. In Orchard Park.
We lost.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was an incredible loss. I mean, I had the numbers here. Forcade threw for 302 yards against a pretty good 1989 Bills team. Not right in the play, right? No, you did make the playoffs in 89.
Yeah.
Right? That was Bickering Bills year.
Yeah.
John Forcade came in here in December, probably never played again in the rest of his career, threw for 300 yards and beat the Bills in a snowstorm. What, you remember that game? What went on there?
Somewhat. I do remember that game. I do remember New Orleans coming here beating us. When that happened to be the year.
Yeah.
I can't even remember what happened.
Guy came out of nowhere, John Forcade. Yeah. I remember just people slipping and sliding all over the old artificial turf field.
Yeah, and I can't even remember who scored touchdowns or any. I can't remember any. I was about to say Bobby Aber was the quarterback, but he wasn't.
John Forcade.
Wow.
Anybody ever heard of him before or since?
I heard of him.
Yeah.
I did.
I heard of him.
That was an amazing game. You guys were good back then.
When they had Dalton Hilliard on that team?
They probably did.
Yeah, I think they did. Well, you know, that was a year we went 9-7.
Yeah.
So it was.
You were up and down.
Up and down the entire year.
Sniping at each other.
Well, Jim started it. I keep telling you guys that.
You won't let that one go.
No, I won't.
We had a tweet, Thurman, a question for you. I got to find it because this guy is right on. Todd Mancuso tweets in, celebrity update from Thurman. Love hearing who's been rubbing shoulders with. You already mentioned T. Boone Pickens, but who else? Come on, give us some star power.
Nope. That's all I got for you.
Come on, man.
That's all I got for you. I haven't been anywhere. It's hard to travel during the season, man.
Yeah.
I had the bye week, and I went and saw Drew Brees, but that was it.
That was a good one.
Yeah, so I don't have anything for you guys. I'm sorry.
One more call.
He just let his kids down.
Right, yeah, I'm sorry.
One more call.
I'm sorry, I didn't get you anything for Christmas. I'm sorry.
John is on the line with us. John, you're on the air with me and Donald and Thurman. Go ahead.
Hi, fellas. Thanks for taking my call today. And I know I'm going to sound a little bit like a broken record from the last caller, but I also think that we're suffering from predictable play calling, and I think we need to open the playbook up. And I think the lack of first quarter scoring, we come out and we try to do a Woody Hayes type offense and pound the running game. And they're putting eight men in the box. And when they walk that safety down, you know, Tony Romo announced the Jets game. And he immediately recognized them putting eight men in the box. And he said they're disrespecting the Bills' wide receivers. They're disrespecting their passing attack. He says, I throw the ball 10 times out of 10 times when they put that kind of defense out there. So I think we need to open it up. I think the offensive line is good enough. I think Miller, Groh, and Dawkins would all be starting on half the teams in the league. I don't think it's the offensive line. I think part of it's the play calling. Let's open the playbook up and see if Tyrod can do it.
Okay. Things might change with Kelvin Benjamin. Right?
I would think they would change a little bit. And then having Charles Clay coming back, I would think you would see a little bit more from the offense.
You're going to see some downfield action.
You might see some downfield action. The thing that I like, you know, with Kelvin Benjamin is that, you know, he's definitely not a speed guy.
No.
He's not a speed guy. But he still has an opportunity to catch the ball downfield because he's 6'5".
Right.
Him and Tyrod should be working before practice, during practice, and after practice on, like, some long 20-yard throws.
Right.
Okay, this is where I'm going to put the ball for.
Exactly.
Or depending on where the DB. You're 6'5". Yeah. Most of the DBs that are going to be playing get probably, what, 5'10", 5'11"?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 6 foot. So I think that's going to be a big adjustment, having Clay back. And I think the Bills know what's at stake here.
Yeah.
They need to keep up with the New England Patriots. They need to get back on a winning streak. They're at home, and it starts Sunday.
I said it earlier. I think LeSean McCoy is the happiest dude on the team. And you would think, oh, Tyrod Taylor, he's got a new guy. He can throw the ball. No, LeSean McCoy knows we got to get him the ball.
Right.
We got Charles Clay coming back. Get him the ball, too, so that everybody backs off and I can have some room to play around with.
And then I listen to 550 all the time because I'm just old and have nothing else to do other than listen to music or whatever. But the Saints have given up.
That's a promo in the bank. Somebody record that.
The Saints have given up. Well, I could be older and listen to 930, but anyway.
Any other broadcast partners you want to insult?
The Saints have given up the second most plays of 20 yards or more in the National Football League. So that bears well for LeSean McCoy.
Yeah. Look, I when's the last time we've seen the Bills actually, like, in the 10-yard line throw a fade ball? You see every team do it, you know, but you haven't had the receivers that I guess he trusts to just throw a fade ball out there. Well, now you have that guy. You know, you can throw one to Charles Clay. You can throw one to Kelvin Benjamin. I'm telling you, it just opens things up for LeSean McCoy and everybody else.
It really does. And it's not just the fade routes. It's the slants route.
Yeah.
It's the curls. It's everything because he's such a big body, a wide body. You throw that ball out in front, there's no way a DB can get there. Right. No way a DB can get there.
Thurman, your homework assignment is to round up some celebrities. I don't care if you got to go stand in the produce aisle at Tops and just kind of see who passed, you know, local weatherman or somebody, anybody.
I might have one for you next week.
Okay.
I might have one for you next week.
Can you give us a
hint?
A hint?
Music, sports, politics, the arts?
It'll be sports.
Oh.
It'll be sports.
Current? Legend?
Legend.
Can we guess or should we wait till next week?
Yeah, you can guess. You probably won't get it, but.
All right.
Jack Nicklaus is my guess.
Oh, man. You were close.
It's a golfer.
No, it's not. I had another conversation with Nick O'Leary about Jack.
Jack comes to games.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen him?
He's coming to this one.
Have you seen him yet?
Yeah, I saw him last year.
Yeah.
Saw him last year,
He was here last home game, I think.
Okay. He was here last home game. Yeah. Exactly right, yeah. So, but I do have – he's a legend, this guy.
Oh, no question. Oh, yeah. The guy you're meeting.
The guy that I'm meeting, yeah.
Okay. All right, we look forward to that. Thanks, Thurman.
Thank you.
Thurman Thomas, Bills legend himself, Hall of Fame running back for the Bills, comes in on Wednesdays and – regales us with stories about the celebrities that he crosses paths with. It's always fun. We're back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones. Our thanks to Thurman Thomas for joining us. Thurman, not enough of the limelight just to be on the show. Apparently, he is standing at the podium with LeSean McCoy as practice wraps up inside the at Pro Sports Training Center. I think we can pick it up live. You can hear Thurman Thomas with LeSean McCoy at the podium after practice today.
That's not good. I didn't know that. But I think it's come down to executing, you know, wherever the plays are, but get down and focus more. You know, get the job done. We got the players. You know, good thing is a lot of guys are healthy. You know, we're going to get Ben. He'll be out there this week, so that'll be good for us. We just got to go out there and execute. Simple as that. I had a terrible loss on Thursday night. So how do you bounce back is the answer. You know, and that's the question. So we'll see how we answer that.
How much did the short week and the fact that you had 33 touches against the Raiders play into what happened Thursday?
How many touches did I have that game? Well, I'd like to have more. No, I just think how the game went. We got down, so we had to throw the ball. You know, and I mean, that was it. I think them guys over there, they played well. You know, they stopped the run when they needed to. Just give them credit. They always had a solid defensive line, you know. But I think everybody was sore, you know, from a short week. It's no excuses. I'm sure if I had my choice, I would love to play on a regular Sunday, get the right preparation, the right rest, recovery. 9 years in, you know, but, hey, it is what it is. It's been like that for a while, so no excuses.
Before the game against the Jets, you guys hadn't trailed by more than 7 points in a game.
Yeah, that's true, right.
How surprising was it that they kind of took it to you guys?
Now, I was surprised. I really was. Just I always thought that they had a really good, you know, defense. You know, no matter what the stats say, because they're good. They really are. But they just physically just handed it to us. You know, every way you could think about it, they did. I mean, simple as that.
How motivational is that to, as you said there, bounce back, how you respond from a game like that?
Yeah, well, it's a loss. I mean, it's a loss. The good things, we're still 5-3. You know, we got another opportunity this Sunday. We're going against a really good team for all-star quarterback and a solid team together. So it's a big challenge for us. It really is, but we've had big games before. We win this game, we're 6-3. Things are a lot different if that happens. So we just got to make sure we take care of business.
People expect Kelvin Benjamin to help the passing game, but how does he help the run game?
A lot. First of all, he's 6'5", 200 plus. So get him blocking will be good. First thing, when he came in the building, you know, big guy, I said, hey, man, happy to have you, but can you block? You know, he would laugh. And also, just from a passing standpoint, you got to watch him. You know, he's a guy that's a load to bring down, and it's going to be tough to cover him one-on-one. So if guys want to sell out for the running game and they'll leave that matchup, you know, I like our chances. You know, so that'll definitely be a big threat for us.
How aware are you guys as a team of where you stand stacked in the rest of the AFC playoff picture here at the midway point?
I didn't look at it. You know, it's too early to look at the playoff standings or where we'll be at. If the if it's the last game where we'll stand at for the playoffs, I'm sure we'll get in. But I haven't looked at it. It doesn't matter. You know, we got a couple more games, so we can think about that. I'll just take care of business this Sunday. You know, you don't want to look forward. You know, right now, the task at hand is the Saints.
Why are you sure we'll get in?
I mean, you mean the playoffs, right? If it ended today, we'll get in, right?
Oh, okay. No.
Like, if the season ends today, we would get in. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
What's
That'll blew up.
Guaranteed.
You're 4-0 at home. What has been the key to that success here?
Just, I think, the environment. It gets crazy here. The Buffalo fans really help us out. They come out. They get it rocking. You know, they really do. And then I think we just... Something about being at home. You don't want another team coming to your own home and disrespecting it. You know, where in the past we haven't had that same mentality. I think that's something that Sean really preaches, and we believe in it. So you got to protect your home field. That's major.
You've always been a guy who has watched other great players and, you know, appreciated what they've been able to do. Drew Brees, what is it about him that, you know, makes him a future Hall of Famer?
Drew's, man. Drew's.
Enjoyed watching him play.
Yeah, Drew's dope. He really is. I don't really watch a lot of offense while we're on the, when the defense is on the field. Certain players I've watched. I watch him. I watch Peterson. I watch Le'Veon and AB. You know, and Drew Brees. I remember the first time I seen him in Philadelphia. He was throwing like bullets. Guys are covered, and only his guys can catch it. I remember at the Pro Bowl. One of the Pro Bowls I went to, it's like a hangout, you know, guys hanging out, having fun. And we're at the pool, and all the guys are, you know, having a little margaritas, having fun. And he's over there studying the plays. I was like, wow. Then we get into practice. He's like, hey, Shady, you got the – I was like, yeah, I got it. But just seeing, like, that type of preparation in, like, a Pro Bowl, that setting, that environment is just hanging out, just having fun. So it shows you that. The competitive nature he really has and want to win and want to be a leader and a champion. So I'm a big fan of his, and, you know, just I appreciate his work. And now we got to win, you know, but I appreciate his work.
Well, Sean McCoy at the podium. One of these days we'll get Shady on the show, I think, right? Is that ship sailed? I don't know.
I don't know.
Because there's something, you know, he's ultra confident. Which I think rubs some people the wrong way.
Look, the first thing he said there was talking about Kelvin Benjamin. Can you block?
Yeah,
that's
right.
Like the first thing.
Talk about him.
Kelvin's probably like, hey, man, look, I'm coming here to make some plays, too.
Do you know who I am, basically, you say? Hey, we're talking about the Bills as they come off the practice field. Limited practice for Charles Clay, which I think is a pretty good sign. Limited work today for E.J. Gaines. No practice today for left tackle Cordy Glenn. No practice for wide receiver Zay Jones. Your thoughts on the Bills, where they stand right now. We're going to take a break here, come back, and get some more phone calls on this. What's it going to take to make the playoffs? Give us a call, 803-0550, and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This same guy. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones talking to you about the Bills. They're off the practice field. They got some limited work from Charles Clay today and no practice for Cordy Glenn. Hey, give us a call. Let us know what you think. What is the key for the Bills making the playoffs this year? 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. The number to call. Let's call. Let's hear from Trucker Will. Hello, Trucker Will. Where are you? Trucker, you on the road?
Hey. And no, sir, I drive at night from Rochester to Meadville, PA every night, but I listen to you guys religiously.
The home of Dad's dog food, Meadville. Is that what you're going? Is that where you're going down there?
What that?
What's going on? How do I know that? I don't know. I just know weird things like that. Dad's dog food, headquartered in Meadville, PA, right?
Yes, sir.
See, Donald? I don't know what the point was there. Go ahead, Trucker Will. What's up?
I call in all the time. It's to set my name apart. No, guy, for the poll, I think our defense really needs to solidify, and that is what's going to win us all the way to the playoffs. If those boys can tighten down, it'll let our offense breathe. My question for you guys regarding the offense now, with the addition of Kelvin Benjamin, the quote unquote element of surprise, with this. I mean, hopefully it doesn't last just one game. You know, we can utilize him in multiple different facets of our offense. Just want to see what your guys' take is on the element of surprise for this game. Obviously, there's tape from Carolina, but how Buffalo's going to be able to use him in the future and going forward. Again, defense being hopefully strong the rest of the season with this addition, Clay coming back and everything. How do you guys see us being able to finagle our way all the way to the playoffs? So I'll hang up and listen.
Finagle our way to the playoffs. I think the defense, yeah, they got to play better. You know, you got to create turnovers, but you got to be able to stop teams, get off the field on third down. They need to just be able to shut down the run. They need to get two quarterbacks, you know, and however they got to do that, that's just how you have to do it. If you have to now dial up some pressure, then you got to do what you got to do. We all know that defense wins championships. And here in this division, when facing the quarterbacks that they're about to face week in and week out moving forward, they have to be able to slow teams down. If you can't slow teams down and these teams are putting up, you know, 40 points on you, it's tough to win that game. I don't know if we have the offense. Who knows? Maybe we'll see a different offense now with a Kelvin Benjamin and Charles Clay back. But I don't know if we have the offense that wants to get into a shootout. I don't care what Tyrod said, that wants to get into a shootout with Drew Brees. I don't think you want to do that.
No, absolutely not. You got to play a little bit more defense. Thanks for your call. Our Twitter poll today, what's the key to the Bills making the playoffs? What do you think it'll take? Give us a call at 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. On Twitter, it's a very close vote. I love these close Twitter polls like this. I don't know why. It makes me excited. 34% of you.
Is that because you came up with this?
No. If you had done this and it had been that close, I'd be excited. I think it's cool when there's that much of a difference of opinion. I think it indicates that this is something people are thinking about a little bit. What is the key? How are they going to make the playoffs? 34% on Twitter say tighter defensive play. 29% say consistent run game. 29% say using Benjamin and Charles Clay, who comes back in the offense. What about that defense? And what about the fact that the Bills have had trouble putting pressure on the passer? Sean McDermott talked about it earlier today before the team went out for practice today, and he acknowledges, yes, the Bills need to put more pressure on opposing quarterbacks. Here's what the head coach of the Bills had to say about that.
You've got to be able to affect the quarterback with your front four. There's no doubt, Vic. So, you know, there's times we've done that. There's times when we haven't done it as much as we need to, and we know that. And so that'll be a big challenge this week, just like it is every week. So I've got a good quarterback coming to town and a big challenge.
And as a follow-up, is it strategic kind of changes? Just who's in there in the rotation or positioning of people or schematically? What are ways you can improve it on a consistent basis?
Well, you just got to continue to get better, number one, fundamentally, and make sure we've got a coordinated plan, which we have, and the execution's got to be fast and physical. Hand violence is a big part of this game. You heard me mention that the other day, with getting off blocks, with rushing the passer, with tackling, you know, the subject that was brought up earlier. So that's we've got to play violent football.
Sean McDermott, earlier today, I've heard them say that, hand violence, Donald, and I think I know what he means, but what do you think he means? Hand, you know, violence for defenders.
Especially up front, you know, the defensive front, you got to play violent with your hands, because once those offensive linemen get their hands on you, it's tough to get off them, you know. So you got to play violent with your hands. If I'm a wide receiver, I have to be violent with my hands, because the DBs in this league cheat. You know, they hold on to whatever they can hold on to, and you got to play violent in everything that you're doing. You got to be violent in this game, period, but especially with your hands, and especially on the defensive front. Getting off of blocks, getting off those offensive linemen, get those guys off you, and you do that by using your hands and being violent with them.
I like that. That's a good explanation. Let's go to Garen in North Collins, New York. Hello, Garen. Welcome. You're on the air with us. Go ahead, Garen.
I'm Don. How are you doing?
Great.
Good.
Yeah, I'd like to say that the right side of the offensive line needs to play better, especially Jordan Mills. I also like to say the defensive line, I mean, where's Jerry Hughes, I mean, in all this? He needs to get more pressure, and the way to do that is to blitz a little bit more, don't you think?
Well, I think so. I think even coming out, you know, last Friday, last Thursday night on the air with Kelso, I talked about, you know, they should dial up a few blitzes here. I think they need to blitz a little bit more. I wouldn't isolate the offensive line issues to just the right side of the offensive line.
No, it's the
whole
especially
in the Jets game,
the entire offensive
serious
line.
Issues.
Line as a whole. But I mean, Jordan Mills has been the weak link for I don't know as long as we had him.
I mean, he's had his rough games. He's had some games where he's been better. You know, I think just I don't just want to say the right side because I think the entire offensive line has played bad this year. Okay. You know, not just the Jets game. There are other games where these guys have not been able to get anything going in the passing game or the running game, and it's shown, especially the games that they lost. Yeah. They haven't been able to really do anything. You know, that hearing that dog bark in the background, it took me – one of my boys is a mailman, and he's always telling stories about getting chased by dogs. And when he tells me the stories, it's the funniest thing now. It's
I bet it's not funny to him.
It's not. Well, he's not even a mailman anymore. He's a cop now. but he's like, man, I always got my pepper spray ready. When you hear him tell the story, he makes it funny. It's hilarious.
We're going to break. We've got more to come, including Deion Dawkins, who got first-team reps at left tackle today in place of Cordy Glenn. He's scheduled to join us when we return. So come on back for that. We've got an hour to go. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network Sports Update.
Update from One Bills Drive. The Bills have finished their Wednesday practice as they get set for the New Orleans Saints. Charles Clay back at practice on a limited basis today. The tight end has missed the last three games with a knee injury, a chance that he could return to the lineup this Sunday against the Saints. Limited practice today also for cornerback E.J. Gaines. No practice today at all for left tackle Cordy Glenn, foot and ankle injuries flare up. He did not practice today. No practice for rookie wide receiver Zay Jones either. The Bills and the Saints. New Orleans has a 4-1 record in games played in Orchard Park over the years. Forecast for Sunday calls for mostly cloudy skies and a high of 44. We'll see how the Saints fare with that. Kickoff 1 o'clock at New Era Field on Sunday. Doctors in Texas say they did not find any additional damage in the knee of Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson. They did perform ACL surgery today in Houston. He tore the ACL in his right knee during practice last week. He is out for the year. He returned from a torn ACL in college in 5 months while he was at Clemson. The projected timeline for his recovery now, 8 to 9 months. Sam Bradford, Vikings quarterback, had his knee scoped today. It looks like he's going to wind up on injured reserve with the return of Teddy Bridgewater from the physically unable to perform list. Bradford expected to go to IR. Only 8 weeks left in the regular season. The Vikings have been using Case Keenum as their quarterback, and now they do get Teddy Bridgewater back off the PUP list. The one-game suspension levied on Bucs wide receiver Mike Evans has been upheld by the NFL. He appealed the ruling, but it was upheld by appeals officer James Thrash. Leonard Fournette, who did not play last Sunday for the Jacksonville Jaguars, their star rookie running back, has publicly apologized to fans for the off-field behavior that led to him being suspended. He violated team rules stemming from missing a workout and treatment along with a team photo back in late October. Sabres rallied 2 goals in the third period last night and wound up winning the game against the Washington Capitals 3-1. Another home game count up for Buffalo. They play the Florida Panthers Friday night at the KeyBank Center. And that is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones. We're coming to you live from our One Buffalo studio on this Wednesday afternoon as the practice week chugs along. The Bills now into the heavy lifting of practice week. Donald, you've worked this schedule for several years as a player. You work Monday. You're off typically Tuesday. You come back Wednesday. Would you rather be off Monday and work Tuesday through the end of the week? Why do they do it this way?
No, I think I'd rather come in on Monday, get the film and all that stuff out of the way from the game, you know, and then just move on to the next game. If I had to wait till Tuesday, then it's like, all right, now I got to think about this game until – not that – especially if you played as bad as the Bills did, they're still probably thinking about the game. Even though they moved on to the Saints, they're still like, man, we got to play better than we did last week, you know. But I'd rather get the film and everything out of the way and go ahead and have my Tuesday off and get moving to the next week.
Do you need – the recovery time. Is the recovery time for a player better on Tuesday or Monday, do you think?
I think it's good for players to come in here on Monday and just move around a little bit, you know, because moving around does help to get that lactic acid and everything out of your muscles. It helps that soreness. You got to move around. You can't just lay in the bed until Tuesday, you know, because then when Tuesday comes around, it's like, oh, now I'm really sore, you know. So coming in on Monday, I think, helps the guys. And the guys who are hurt, which most guys are dealing with something from a game, you got to come in for rehab anyway. So you might as well get a workout out of the way, get the film work, everything out of the way, get your Tuesday off, Wednesday we're ready to go.
What did you typically do on Tuesdays when you played?
I mean, if I didn't have like an endorsement or appearance or something like that, which
raking in tons of money,
something like that, which was
which was normal,
which was yeah.
What were you doing? Like supermarket signings?
Yeah, you know, supermarkets.
Cans of dog food at the top friendly market. What were you doing?
We were doing supermarkets. we were doing photo shoots for you know different magazines and
did
stuff
you leave
like
any
that.
Nickels on the table, or were they all
no, no? And I'm gonna tell you, I didn't play around either. My first agents, I had to move on from them because I was starting. And they weren't doing anything for me off the field. And I'm like, look, like there's some dudes on this team that are starting, getting all types of stuff done for them. I'm not. I think we're going to have to move on. This is not working out. And
ruthless.
I did that. Hey, you
were ruthless.
It has to go down like that. But Tuesday, you know, Tuesday was a day for me to just chill with the family. If I wasn't working doing one of those, I was just relaxing with the family.
Okay. Thanks for letting us in on that. Yeah. Donald Jones with us. We got an hour to go on the show. Deion Dawkins scheduled to join us in a couple of minutes, the Bills' rookie offensive lineman. In the meantime, our Twitter poll today deals with how to make the playoffs. What are the Bills going to have to do to end this drought? You know the score, 8 games left. They're the 6th seed in the AFC right now, so they are in playoff position, but a lot of work to go and really a lot of things to overcome based on the way they played in their last game. That's our Twitter poll. What will it take for the Bills to make the playoffs? What do you think? What's the biggest key? You know, a lot of things have to go well, but what is the biggest key? 34% of you, about a third, say tighter defensive play. 29% say establishing that consistent run game. 29% say integrating Kelvin Benjamin, Charles Clay in the offense. 8% say something else. What do you say? 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Here's Jason calling from Springville, New York. Hello, Jason. Welcome. You're on the air with us. Go ahead, Jason.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
You know, I'm not too worried, at least this point in the season. You know, they've been in every game so far except for the Jets game.
Yeah.
Now, you know, is a bad game. Look at all the teams that are good teams and make the playoffs, you know, continuously every year. They have those games. They get blown out. It's unexpected. You're like, they played a, you know, not a good team and they got beat. The Patriots, anything happens to the Patriots. And Donald, I love what you said. You got to play violent, especially on the ends. You know, these guys got to go out there and give it their best. We do have to get pressure on that quarterback. That is huge. And our offensive line on the right side is definitely not doing so well, you know. And I like the comment about the guy that said Jordan Matthews isn't doing so good, but you got to look at Tyrod. He doesn't, you know, I'd say play to the strength of his wide receivers. You know, he spreads it around. He does what he can do. He's mobile and he can run. I think when he throws to them guys, it counts. Yeah, I think we'll be all right. And I don't see anybody in the AFC blowing it up the last half of the season either.
Well, last half of the season is yet to be seen, but, you know, I think you will see some teams, which I think we've already started to see, separate from everybody else. You know, the teams that are really good and can make pushes for a Super Bowl run, not just the playoffs. You know, teams like Pittsburgh, teams like New England. You know, I think you are starting to see that, those teams separate. But as he talked about Jordan Matthews, I don't understand why anyone would think that Jordan Matthews is not playing well. You know, it's not like he's out here dropping passes. It's not like, I mean, yeah, he had the fumble. It happens to the best of us. We've all fumbled. Even Shady McCoy fumbled. He just happened to get another opportunity, and they ended up winning that game because of a good play by Tre'Davious White and all of that stuff. But it happens to the best of us. But Jordan Matthews has played as good as he can play. When he gets the ball thrown his way, he catches it. All right, so I don't understand how anyone would think that Jordan Matthews is not playing well. He's not doing anything for us.
Here's a call from Jeff in Jamestown. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, John, Donald. You know, they say this is where you part of the season where you cut your teeth. And I'm curious about the wide receivers set up. A lot of us talked about the X, the Y, and Z, and who would play where. And now that we got Benjamin, you know, obviously he'd be probably the X or the Y, and then move the guy you were just talking about to
Jordan Matthews.
The slot would be, you know, and then maybe the other guy who's 6'5", Holmes, and the X or Y.
Yeah, why how do you think they should line those guys up, Donald? And first of all, I think they should move them around, right?
That's my thing, move them around. Nobody should be an X, Y, or Z. You might have that title in the huddle just because That's, you know, how they actually call plays.
Right.
But I don't think you should say, well, okay, Kevin Benjamin is – he's a true number one. He should be playing the X and be outside all the time. No, forget all of that. Move all of these guys around. The teams that move their receivers around are the teams that are really successful in offense. If you move your weapons around, it's hard for a defense to understand what it is that you're doing, and that's what allows you to be successful, you know. And it's not that you're running a million plays. All you're doing is window dressing by moving guys around, shifting, motioning, doing all different types of things. We've seen – Coach Rick Dennison do that, you know, this year. We've seen them do some motions and shifts and stuff like that. Kelvin Benjamin needs to line up outside. He needs to line up number two in the slot. He needs to line up number three in the slot. You know, you put Charles Clay outside. Move all these dudes around. Motion LeSean McCoy from the backfield outside. The Saints do it with Kamara. You know, like, move everybody around so that you have no clue what it is that they have no clue what you're trying to do. And also, when you do motions and shifts and stuff like that, it allows for you to understand what they're trying to do to you, if they're running zone, if they're running man, yeah. You know. So I think it's a good thing to move everybody.
Yeah. Hey, they got to do stuff on defense too. When Sean McDermott was asked about that this morning, you know, they had that run where they got, what, 15 takeaways in five games, and then it dried up against the Jets, and they came up way short against the Jets. McDermott was asked today if he's concerned about his defense depending too much on taking the ball away.
The number one goal is to keep people off the scoreboard. You know, I've been around this defense, this system for a long time, and, you know, it's yards are not important. Yards don't win games. You know, points points are what win games. And we've got to score points offensively and special teams-wise, and then we've got to keep people off the scoreboard. I'm stating the obvious, but that, you know, is the end result, what we're looking for. That's the goal. We've had some good days doing that. We've had some days where we've given up yards that have led to points, to your point, you know. So I recognize that, and we, you know, just like I said earlier, we've got to continue to grow, continue to build, and get better in all three phases of our game. We're not where we need to be.
As a follow-up, just a missed tackling, was that a one-off, or at least you must hope it's a one-off? Just how inefficient you were in that phase of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, we've tackled well up to that game, and so we've got to get back at it this week. Like I said the other week, if it's something that if you don't, like, fundamentals overall, if you don't work on it, if you don't emphasize it, you know that's what happens. It sags or it lags in that regard. So and that's, you know, we had a day and a half of practice, so now we're looking forward to getting back to a normal routine, normal practice week of practice, and get better in all those areas.
Sean McDermott talking about his defense and how much they need takeaways. They certainly do. They need offense, too. And joining us in studio right now is Bills draft pick, first-year player, Deion Dawkins. Deion, thanks for coming by. We appreciate
y'all having me.
Yeah, man. How's it been going? What have you guys on the offensive line talked about since last week and Thursday night?
Getting back to what got us to the point that we're at now, the basics. Mm-hmm.
That's really what it's – because we've heard Coach McDermott talk about that in the press conference. We just got to get back to fundamentals. Is that really what they're talking about?
That is exactly right. From the basics as far as hand placements, your first step, your second step, your hat placement, everything that starts a playoff, because for offense, everything has to be intact for the play to work. I mean, defense, 10 guys and could be wrong and one guy and could be right, and that's a great defensive play. But if the offense – if 11 guys aren't doing the – right thing at the right time and at the right moment, then the play will never work.
Not taking anything away from the Jets, because we know how talented that defensive front is, but, and I don't want to dwell on the Jets game. I think there's a lot of that going on as I hear the questions in the media today, but when you look back at that game, how did it get off the rails is what I'm trying to say against the Jets. What happened to the offensive line in particular?
Sheesh. Well, their fundamentals definitely got away from them. It definitely started with hand placement and stuff like that, just getting where they have to be on each block. And, I mean, I'm new to the NFL, but the way that it feels here, I definitely feel like that game was supposed to happen the way that it was. So
what do you mean?
We could, like, move on, because this program, I guess, isn't really used to winning, and we've been winning. So now it's time for us to embrace that we are good enough to – do what we're planning on doing. And with how Coach has us going, we're going to be fine the rest on. So we just have to stick to what and we know and stick to what and we do, and that's playing tough every play.
So more like a wake-up call type of thing?
Definitely a wake-up call.
Like, we know we're good, but
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and bring back down to reality for a second. So you haven't done anything yet.
Yeah, so basically just embrace the underdog role because no matter what, they're never going to respect us. So we know that we have to bring it because that's just what and the Bills is. It's just a hard knock team, and we just come and we'll beat you up for 4 quarters. So as long as we know that, embrace that underdog role, we'll be fine.
Just know that.
Just know that.
Deion Dawkins, Bills left tackle, in studio with us. You are new to this.
Yeah.
I wonder how do those corrections get communicated to you? You guys came back here Friday. Everybody's exhausted. I'm sure you had some meeting time and a little bit of stretch time out there. Yeah. But at what point did they say, hey, look at what we did against the Jets. This is what it looked like. This is what is unacceptable. When did you do that? And what was that like? Was there yelling and screaming, or was it instruction? What did that look like?
It's never really yelling and screaming because we are grown men. So as long as we're on the same page with communication and everybody understanding what the message is, we'll be fine. I mean, like, this program isn't really a yell, da-da-da-da, in-your-face right. team because we're mature enough to take what is being said for us to get – or for the coaches to get the message across. So and with the coaches just treating us with high and respect and us treating them with and respect, then we're fine. As long as we're on, the same page, then we are going to be perfectly fine. I promise you that.
Did that go on Friday or Monday when you came back here?
No, well, definitely Friday because the game was on Thursday. Right. We had meetings Friday morning. So, yes, it started Friday morning, bright and early, and we came back extremely early in the morning.
But
we have to stick to the schedule, and the schedule will push us through. So,
as a rookie, and you're still a rookie, coming into when you first come into this thing, it's like there's a lot going on. And you were a higher draft pick, so there's a lot going on. A lot of people calling you, texting you, doing all types of stuff. You feel like you settled in yet?
Well, I don't think that you could really settle in to the NFL because everything changes and so fast, and everything is moving around extremely fast. Guys, they get cut every day, so I'm always on my hot seat on a daily basis. But I guess I could say that I'm settling in. As my confidence is settling in, but besides that, I mean, I'm still extremely okay, we have to be here. Everything just has to be right. So, I mean, every day, I mean, it gets more comfortable. But with my play and playing next to guys like Richie and learning from guys like Cordy and taking leadership notes from guys like E. Wood and Pat and Tyrod and Shady, it's just like just embracing it all in and just taking it day by day.
Deion Dawkins, Bill's second-round draft pick in studio with us. This came up. There was a lot of shuffling on the offensive line a couple of weeks ago at the guard positions, and someone called up the show and wondered whether you could play guard. You had some guard experience, right, at Temple?
Yeah. So I played guard my freshman year of Temple for maybe a game and a half, and then they pushed me right out to tackle. Left side, right side? I actually played right first, and I broke my foot at right tackle. And then once my foot got healed, I came back for right tackle and just in practice, and then coach and was like, "Do you think and that you could play left tackle?" And I just told coach that I'll do whatever needs, and I pushed over to left, and it was fluent.
And there've been no reps at guard for you here with the Bills since you've been here.
Oh, of course. I took a guard rep in the Bucks game. Play for Richie because Richie came out.
How hard is that for you? You've been practicing tackle left and right. And then all of a sudden, it's like, we need you to go in at guard.
Yeah.
In a game.
That's just embracing the NFL because, you never know what's going to happen or who is going to go down. So the hardest part about going from tackle to guard is realizing the speed of how everything is happening because at guard, everything happens faster and your space is tighter. Like, that's why they call it a phone booth. Because everything is just shorter, so tackle like you have time to vertical set and or flat set and just get your time. Okay, I'm about to punch now. But as a guard, it's like boom, straight at you as soon as the ball is snapped.
You prefer tackle, I would think.
Of course, yeah.
Deion, so now Cordy Glenn misses today. I assume you got a lot of first team reps at left tackle with Cordy out. You had 3 starts there earlier this year. Oh. Do you see that as your path forward in the league, being a left tackle in this league?
I mean, I hope so because. I embrace the role of the quarterback's respect. Like because if the quarterback has high and respect in his left tackle, then he'll play comfortable in the line. Well, he'll play comfortable behind the line. So just taking that role and just knowing that somebody can count on me 100% is just something special.
And, you know, that group up front, as we said, there's been some changes made at guard, and now you're in three starts and maybe, you know, getting ready for more reps at left tackle. It seems like we're halfway into the season and the whole thing hasn't really settled down yet up front. And, again, knowing this is your first year, but ideally you'd like to have it all set. Five guys start in September and going to play them right through the end of the year. That's not happened here.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure that it hasn't happened a bunch of places too, because there's a lot of stats about the NFL and the injury rate of the NFL. So
being 100%.
Yeah, so guys are going to like go down, and coach drafted guys to fill depth on this depth chart and to do their job when their time is called, and that's just what I'm embracing. If my time is called now, then I'm going to take it full on and just embrace in my role for whatever it has to be, whether I have to be a starter in this week and Cordy and comes back and I have to be a cheerleader on the sideline. Whatever it is to win games, I'm happy to do it.
How difficult has it been, this transition to the pro game for you, your first half season in the books with another half season to go? Some guys talk about a rookie wall that you hit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess I didn't hit it yet because I'm still – wide awake and open, but I mean, like, your body definitely feels tired. I guess that this would be what, week 10?
Week 11?
Something like that in college. So they have about two games left and then bowl, whatever. But I'm embracing it. Like, I'm just extremely thankful to be here and extremely thankful to be a part of the NFL. So whatever needs to be done, I mean, I'm just happy to be here.
You know, you talked about being a cheerleader on the sideline. I saw a picture of you dancing on the sideline. I don't know if we have that picture because I'm just bringing it up. But what were you doing?
I was doing a Thriller dance.
The Thriller dance.
Yeah, I was doing the Thriller dance.
Was
just
it the Oakland game. It was Oakland, right?
I think so. Yeah.
It might have been. Was it Oakland? It might have been.
Yeah.
It might have been. But I mean, I enjoy putting smiles on people's faces, and from a guy my size to dance the way that I dance, I got I'm gonna do it. And when it came on, it was just like, I'm doing this dance right
now. Did
you
look around?
Yeah, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this. And I was just, cool.
You was the big dude in the party that was dancing with the small dudes.
Always.
Did they play the video in a meme room or anything after that?
There was a bunch of memes. People were putting that picture of me like this next to the Michael Jackson scene when they were doing the whole thing. And it's pretty cool. I mean, like, I like stuff. I like that. It's pretty cool to see.
Sounds like you like the life here, not just the NFL life, but the Buffalo life. Have you adjusted to that much?
Oh, I love Buffalo. Coming from Jersey, everything is moving around fast, and I love Jersey, like, to the fullest. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing like it, but then coming here, everything is slow. But the people here embrace the football team, even though that we haven't been to the playoffs in however many years. And they are with us to the DIE, so, I mean, I embrace them.
You know, I just got to let you know, and I was talking trash to you a couple weeks ago because my son's team beat Rahway.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they beat Rahway again in the playoffs this past weekend in Rahway, just so you know, Maddenfield in Rahway. You know, they're just handling Rahway this year. I don't know what the deal is.
Well, neither do I because I'm in Buffalo, but Rahway is a unique place. If the kids are 100% bought in, then the program will and be right. But there's a lot of and distractions of different lifestyles at Rahway. So if guys aren't all the way in, then the program is not going to work.
There's a prison in Rahway, right?
There is a prison in Rahway.
There is a prison in Rahway.
You know how I know that? From the old boxing series with Marv Albert, you know, from the Rahway State Prison in Rahway. Yeah. This is going way back, but it's a famous place.
And I think they had
boxing from there on TV all the time.
And I also think that Scared Straight was started there.
Yep.
I think you're right.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that people always mention.
Oh, that was where the Scared Straight first started.
And I'm like, was it? It's definitely a tough place.
It's a tough place.
It's scary. Drive past it, and it's like, listen, let's follow life's process.
Last question that I have for you. What's the process to get the running game consistent? you know, especially maybe the addition of like Kelvin Benjamin and the return of Charles Clay helps this. But the running game has shown so many good flashes this year with so many great runs, and then other times it's like, come on, let's go. We know that the capability is there, but it just hasn't been on a consistent basis.
Well, once again, that goes back to everybody just doing their job 100%, because the offense, everybody has to be right. Every play is designed up for us to score. So, you know, that's just ball. I mean, like, we're a team that we're going to beat you up and beat you up and beat you up 5 yards, 3 yards, 2 yards, and then it's going to pop. And when it pops, it pops.
The last question I have for you, looking at the Saints team on film, Cameron Jordan.
Yeah.
What do you see out of him?
But he's a stud.
Yeah.
And he's a great player. And I know that I'm going to have to bring in my A game to win every battle. Mm-hmm.
Deion, thanks for this.
No problem.
We appreciate you spending a few minutes with us after practice. Deion Dawkins, Buffalo's second-round draft pick, the left tackle who started 3 games already this year, joined us in studio. Donald and I back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Thanks, Nicole.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. If you've missed part of the show, you can pick it up on, and you might miss parts of the show, I'm told. You can pick it up. you can pick it up on our website, buffalobills.com. Right?
You might
miss little tiny sections of the show from time to time.
You know, talking to Deion,
yeah,
it's interesting because he's played tackle here, he's played guard here. You know, it's like, that's why I asked him that question. Have you settled in yet? Like, it's hard to settle in because I don't know where I'm playing.
Right. And that's why I kind of asked the question, too, about it. We're halfway through the season and the whole entire offensive line has not settled in.
Right.
I mean, we had our list of stuff that has to happen if they're going to make the playoffs. That's one of them.
That could be.
Maybe not at the top of my list, but it might be 1A. You know, get the running game going. And look, now it appears, you know, today, Cordy Glenn out with foot and ankle issues. So we'll see how that plays out this week. But we could be in for more changes on the offensive line if that doesn't work out. That's not what you're looking for.
It's not. You want to have the same offensive line on the field for most of the year. You know, if there's a game or two where a guy goes down, all right, that's cool. But it happens. It's football. But you don't want to have it constantly in flux like that. You know, it's hard. It's hard for those guys. They have to play off of each other. We get Ruben on. He talks about it all the time. This offensive line, as an offensive lineman, I got to play off of you, especially if we're running zone. It's not like we're going, you know, power all the time, hat on a hat. No, we're running zone where we all have to be on the same track moving together in sync. You know, it's just like the Thriller video.
I forgot about that. I'm glad you remembered that. But thanks to Deion Dawkins, looks like a pretty good player and a really good kid, Donald. And it's going to be really fun to watch him. I don't want to sound condescending here, but to watch him grow up and grow into the NFL player that it looks like he can be. He's got the NFL body, and it looks like he'll be able to, you know, add some bulk and muscle to that and probably be a good player for a long, long time.
I think he will, as long as he stays healthy. His mind is definitely in the right place, you know, and obviously knowing us, we have the same mentor. I had a chance to meet his, I believe it was his parents, in the airport once. I was coming back into town. His parents were leaving. They had on the Dawkins jerseys, and I'm like, I just walked past. I'm like, y'all from Rawley, huh? And they're like, well, how you know?
you got Rawley written all over you.
Exactly. You got Rawley all over your Bills jersey. It says Rawley. but then we got to talking. But he's a good kid, you know. He really is. How he got to Temple was a crazy story. Yep. And he's fought his way to get here to be a higher draft pick. And now, you know, we'll see what happens on Sunday. But I think he's going to be a good player for a long time in this league. I think he's going to – at some point settle into one position, whether that's tackle or guard, I don't know. I think it would be tackle, one side or the other.
Yeah.
And he'll have a chance to really grow in that position. And like you said, you don't want to be condescending. But when players get here, you are technically an adult, but you're fresh out of college.
Yeah.
All right? And you are now given a lot of money fresh out of college. So you're trying to handle having that money. You're trying to handle – knowing the playbook, you're trying to handle celebrity and being famous and having to do interviews and all of that stuff all at one time. It's not easy to do, so you do have to grow up a lot.
And we thank you for joining us. That was fun. And you're welcome to join us on the telephone line. Lines are open at 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Question of the day as we sit here midseason, the Bills 5-3. We know what the standings look like. We know what the Bills' first half of the season looked like. What's the second half of the season going to have to look like if they're going to make the playoffs? And what's the biggest key, not the only key, but the biggest key to the Bills making the playoffs this year? That's our Twitter poll. It's been up for about 2.5 hours now. We got good response, 3,700 votes. And it's a close vote. Tighter defensive play, the choice from 34% of the respondents. Consistent run game, 29% of you say that. Utilizing Kelvin Benjamin and Charles Clay in the offense, 29% of you say that. Other, something else, 8% of you think that's the key. What's your biggest key to the Bills making the playoffs? Give us a call, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Call here from Jamar in Buffalo. Hello, Jamar, welcome. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great. Good.
All right, I called last week, man. Somebody called in my line. I waited like 30 minutes to talk to y'all. And somebody called my line, and somehow I wasn't able to get through. But anyway.
Sorry about that.
Right. I was calling to talk about Lorenzo Alexander, man. I really feel like they're overusing him. I feel like, you know, he showed us what he could do last year as far as rushing the quarterback. And I thought that was great and playing special teams. But now, like, he's just set out there on linebacker and – I just believe he's being overused. He should just only come in on third downs and play special teams. Let Matt Milano go out there and cover those, you know, tight ends and so on and so forth. I know I had another question, but, you know, I just want to hear what you guys feel about
how you think that, Donald? Is our buddy Lorenzo being overused?
He forgot his question because he was thinking about how somebody took his spot there. Is Lorenzo being overused? Maybe. You know, he plays special teams. He's running down the field a lot. Then he's playing a lot of linebacker as well, you know, and he's not a young spring chicken, you know, so maybe he is being overused. I think we know as we talk to him every Friday on his lowdown segment that he has this like strict regimen every week that he has to follow, you know, and I wonder sometimes, you know, at what point, at what, 34 years old, does playing linebacker, that's a lot on you, you know, is your body holding up? He seems to be holding up, but, I mean, all of these guys are tired now, you know, and I'm 34 years old. I'm just trying to hang on by a shoestring here, you know. So it's a lot when you're playing as much as he is. You know, he's playing a lot out there, and you do want your young guys. I don't know if Matt Milano is ready to take on a full-time starting role yet, though.
Just looking up numbers here, Lorenzo has been in on 70% of the defensive snaps. By contrast, Preston Brown, 100%. Preston has not missed a snap. Ramon Humber, 49%. Matt Milano, 34%. So, yeah, that's a lot. I mean, Kyle Williams, 72% of the snaps. Jerry Hughes, 71%.
That 70% is defensive snaps?
Yeah.
And that doesn't include special teams.
No, sir.
You know, and he's running down the field on special teams as well, making tackles. So that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Thanks for your call. Let's go to Joe in Rochester. Hi, Joe. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hey, hi, guys. How you doing? Yeah, I might have a couple ideas on how we can keep the playoffs alive. I assume that the other team would be trying to blanket our main receivers. But what about, a little surprise with the third, fourth, like Holmes and your gentleman? Because I know they're going to blanket Benjamin because, no, he's a new keeper. So they're definitely going to have to double him. Or want to double him, and I also Matthews probably have the same problem too. So we have to get our third, fourth guys in there to do those good plays, like get them over the middle or over the corners of the end zone area. You know, I mean, go throw it down a couple times deep, but you know that should open up the running back or the running game a little bit for McCoy. And I'll just sit back and let you see what you guys think about that.
He said a lot there.
Yeah, he lost me a little bit. I mean, he's talking about getting the other wide receivers involved besides Kelvin Benjamin. Sure. I think what you have, you know, it's not going to be a one-man show at the receiving spot.
No,
I think
not.
What you have is a legitimate number one target, though, who will take some of the pressure. You pointed out very astutely some of the pressure off the run game. You won't be able to ignore Kelvin Benjamin. Now, he's not going to stretch the field, but you won't be able to ignore him if you're a defense, Saints defense this week. But I do believe there are still roles to be played by the others, including Jordan Matthews in particular. I don't know if Zay Jones didn't practice today. I don't know if Zay's going to be ready to play this Sunday, but he's got a role to play when he's healthy, when he's back.
When Kelvin Benjamin is on the field, it's not like you're going to him, you know, 15 times a game, not even 10 times a game. You know, it's not like this team's not throwing a ball 40 times a game anyway, you know. And I think what you do have now is if you get a one-on-one matchup, you're going to throw the ball to him because he is a legit number one target. And if that's – and when Kelvin Benjamin is not the fastest receiver. He's not a guy that's taking the top off your defense. But with his size and the way he plays the game, you can still throw the ball down the field to him and he can go up and get it over anybody, you know. So I think you're going to take a couple of shots down the field with Kelvin Benjamin. You're going to get some slant routes. You're going to get some end cuts. Yeah, you are. You have a number one receiver now, right? And that's just what it is. When you have a true number one receiver – you get him the ball. Just like Charles Clay, when he was the number one receiver, they were getting him the ball, you know, and that's just what it is.
You made the great point yesterday on Nuts and Bolts, and if you missed that, check it out online, about how the Bills, they got to like what they've gotten from Tyrod Taylor so far this year.
Mm-hmm.
Not only just a continuation of the type of quarterback he was, very low interception total, makes plays on the run. But even, I think, not a major step forward, but a half step forward in terms of reading the field, making quicker, not always quick, but quicker decisions using the middle of the field. But now a new challenge for Tyrod Taylor. Mm-hmm. This is what you pointed out yesterday. And I'm intrigued and hope that it starts this Sunday against the Saints. Here's this number one target, this different kind of a target, really a different weapon than most teams in the league have. There's not too many Kelvin Benjamins out there.
No.
Tyrod, use them. Throw it up for grabs. You know, and obviously for Tyrod Taylor, accuracy might not be the strongest card that he has to play, but put it in a place that
only – you don't
only,
have to be that accurate.
Right. Put it in a place where Kelvin Benjamin can get it, and there are going to be those places just because of his size, his width, his bulk.
Just put it where somebody – nobody else can get it.
Yeah.
All right? Kelvin Benjamin can go get it. With his wingspan and how tall he is, and he can jump as well, he can go up and get the ball over anybody else. I don't, even if you're playing a Richard Sherman, you know, he's not 6'5", and, you know, he can't jump with a Kelvin. Maybe he can, I don't know, but you're still going to give him that opportunity. And that's all Kelvin Benjamin will ask of Tyrod, hey, man, just give me an opportunity to make plays for you, and I'll show you that I can make those plays.
It'll be a leap for Tyrod Taylor.
It is going to be a leap. It's not something that he's done consistently throughout his career, at least his time here in Buffalo. He hasn't thrown it into tight windows. He hasn't thrown it to guys who are covered. You know, he's thrown it to guys who are standing near open and usually facing him as well, you know, like on curl routes and hitch routes and types of things like that. Now, you throw a seam down the middle of the field to one of these guys, you know, because now you can run certain routes with, you know, him and somebody with Kelvin Benjamin in the slot, somebody else on the other side. You run a flag to Charles Clay and a post to Kelvin Benjamin. All Tyrod has to do, or a seam to Kelvin Benjamin, all he has to do is read the safety. If he reads the safety the right way, one of those guys is going to be open. But you have to pull the trigger at that point.
I can't wait to see how it works, hopefully this Sunday. All right, time now for NFL True or False, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's artisan cheese, notes that cross our desks from around the National Football League. Teddy Bridgewater is coming back to the Minnesota Vikings. I believe he got into practice today. And it's a different team, it would seem, with the Minnesota Vikings, with a new, brand new rebuilt offensive line. Bridgewater in 2015 was sacked 44 times. So far this season for the Vikings, Case Keenum and Sam Bradford have been sacked a total of 10 times. Much better offensive line, much better pass protection for the Minnesota Vikings quarterbacks. And now Teddy Bridgewater, probably not going to throw him right into the breach right away, but Teddy Bridgewater's his return will make the Vikings' offense better. I say that's true. If he's healthy and ready to go, and it may take a little time, I think he's a force to be reckoned with. I think the Vikings got to be pretty excited about this.
I think they are excited about this. The Vikings are leading that division right now.
Yeah.
And now you have Teddy Bridgewater coming back, who you thought was your franchise quarterback before he went down, and you had to bring in Sam Bradford. You know, so I don't know how quickly they'll throw him in there, but sitting in a position where you're leading the division and you want to win that division and go on to the playoffs – look, if whoever the quarterback is right now Keenum, if he's not playing well, we might have to put Teddy in there, you know, because, you know, he was coming into his own before he went down. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with Teddy Bridgewater, but I'll go true on this. I think he will make that offense better because he can throw it. I don't know if he can still run a little bit, you know, coming off that knee injury, or even if he will, but Teddy Bridgewater was shown to be a franchise quarterback before he went down.
NFL True or False, Part 2. The Packers won't win until Aaron Rodgers returns. That's put out there by the Associated Press. The Packers were 4-1 when Aaron Rodgers got hurt. They're 4-4 now. And this writer, AP Pro Football writer, says that they'll be stuck on 4 wins until he comes back. I think that's true, Donald. I really do. And I think the Packers are going to bottom out until Aaron Rodgers returns. I just don't see it happening with Brett Hundley. I saw you in the office today. You're watching Hundley and the Pack against New Orleans this morning.
Not the same. It's not the same. I think I'm going to go true on this. Yeah. I'm going to go true on this one. They've been so used to playing a certain way under Aaron Rodgers, you know, and now you have a different quarterback where now you need for your receivers to step up. But you need the quarterback who can make certain throws that these guys have been used to, those back shoulder fades and things like that. He's not able to make the same plays that Aaron Rodgers could. He's not reading the field the same way Aaron Rodgers could. And so, you know, they've never really had a elite defense, you know, so I don't think they're going to win many games at all until he does come back.
By the way, there's not any other quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers.
No.
You know what I mean? So what are we talking about here, right?
Right, exactly. So Aaron Rodgers is – that dude is—he's a bad man. Like my boy Stephen A. Smith, usually that's a bad man right there. He can run around and just make it look so effortlessly. However you say that word.
That's how you say it.
Yeah,
very good.
With just like a flick of the wrist, you know. No, you don't see him looking like Ryan Fitzpatrick when he puts his whole body into a throw. Aaron Rodgers is just, whew, just a flick of the wrist, and that ball is flying out of his hands.
Here's the one caveat. Packers won't win until Rodgers returned. You look at their schedule. They play at the Bears this week. They are home against the Ravens the following Sunday. They play at the Steelers after Thanksgiving, the Sunday after Thanksgiving. You know, those are three potentially tough games. They play the Bucs in Green Bay December 3rd. And then on December 10th, they go to Cleveland. They might be able to beat Cleveland without Aaron Rodgers.
They might be able to. What they really need is a run game.
Yeah.
And that's what they haven't had in years. You know, they've been living off of Aaron Rodgers. Now you need a run game because you don't have Aaron Rodgers, and they don't have that either.
Yeah. All right, but we're going to stay with true on that. NFL True or False brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. Back in a moment, the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
What have we learned is presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. A couple of good guests today on the show, and we learned a lot from them, including Thurman Thomas, the Bills Hall of Fame running back, who has a personal relationship with Drew Brees, the New Orleans Saints quarterback. Thurman has some thoughts on just how good Drew Brees is as a quarterback.
I think when you hear guys who are not like the Peyton Mannings, but you hear stories about Peyton Manning, how he studies all the time, that's Drew Brees right there. I guarantee. Once he retires, you'll start hearing more stories about him, you know, how much he really dedicated himself to being the first one in and the last one out.
Yeah.
That's him right there. And, I mean, he knows how to read defense. I think that's the number one thing that's right there.
Thurman Thomas on Drew Brees. The two of them have known each other for 20 or more years.
Would they be BFFs?
They probably are pretty friendly.
Yeah. BFFs.
Also, what did we learn today? Deion Dawkins, Bills left tackle, who got first-team reps today at practice in place of Cordy Glenn. Deion Dawkins talked to us about what it might take to get the Buffalo Bills running game back on track on a consistent basis.
That goes back to everybody just doing their job 100%. Because the offense, everybody has to be right. Every play is designed up for us to score. So, you know, that's just ball. I mean, like, we're a team that we're going to beat you up, beat you up, and beat you up 5 yards, 3 yards, 2 yards, and then it's going to pop. And when it pops, it pops.
It did pop. Remember in the open game, the 48-yard run?
It did.
That's exactly what happened in that game.
It popped.
And it was good. And they need more of that. They need a lot more of that. On Twitter, we asked our listeners and Twitter followers today what it's going to take to get the Bills into the playoffs. We know where they're at, five wins, and we know they're going to need five wins, maybe four, get them in, but five-plus wins in the second half of the season. And what do you think it'll take to get the Bills into the playoffs? On Twitter, the respondents, 34% of you said it's going to take better, tighter defensive play. 30% of you said it's going to take a more consistent run game. 29% say it might be the addition of Kelvin Benjamin and Charles Clay, the offense that puts them over the top. 7% had something else to say. I just want to see better defense. I know they're capable of it, Donald. They were a lockdown defense for the first 4 weeks. I think they can get back there. I really do.
I want to see better defense, so I'll go with that one. And I'll have a 1A, which would be other, in the other category, and that's staying healthy. You got to stay healthy. You got to have your key players healthy in this back half of the season. It's going to be important.
It's always important, right?
Oh, yeah.
And we've gone over this a lot in the time since the game a week ago, 6 days ago. The Bills have to do their own thing, but you also keep an eye on those teams underneath them in the standings. And I don't know that there's a team there capable of a big push. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see about that. But I like where the Bills are, where they control their own destiny. They don't have to look up at another team right now.
Hey, the injury report is just out officially from the Buffalo Bills, and they got no practice today from a couple of players, including left tackle Cordy Glenn with foot and ankle issues. No practice today for wide receiver Zay Jones with his ankle. Limited work from tight end Charles Clay. Limited work from cornerback E.J. Gaines. And we'll follow that, of course, as the week goes along. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Our production assistants today from J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Olivia Merrill, and Shelby Rush, our producer, Jay Harris. Reuben Brown joins us tomorrow. You know who else coming on the show tomorrow? Longtime Bills fans will remember this name. Antoine Smith, running back. He followed your path. He went to the Bills, went to the Patriots, and going to be the leader of the charge Sunday. He joins us on tomorrow's show as well. We'll see you tomorrow with the John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.